Blog Talk Radio.
The Net Live is brought to you by the Spire Institute, integrating sports and education, training and learning, performance and competition like no place on earth. SpireInstitute.org. Now, on with the show.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Casey Patterson.
The story in real time.
We're a much better team now than we were then.
I'm not looking at just this season. I'm looking at the next 4 years.
You're listening to The Net Live with Barney.
You didn't win, so you must not have done a good job.
Peter.
There's no better angle for sure than the one from behind.
Reed.
All this travel and plane and priorities have been really getting in the way of our relationship.
And DJ Rouché.
I have a great size.
It's The Net Live right now.
Every week I'm reminded that Casey Patterson is a liar.
He was thinking about 4 years.
No, he was. I'm just kidding, Casey. We love you. And we understand your new partnership, as does your former partner. Welcome to The Net Live, everybody. 3rd of December? Is that right?
Yeah.
December? I guess by the Christmas tree in my living room, I should know that it is December. The real tree went up this week. Very exciting. Boys are stoked. First real tree for my youngest son.
Oh, nice.
Second real tree for my oldest.
Except for the rest of your Christmas decorations have been up since mid-September.
Well, that was them. Yeah.
You live in Southern California. You have a real tree?
Real tree.
Whoa.
Imported pine.
Whoa.
From Canada. Canada.
Canada.
That voice you hear may sound familiar from last year and other special editions of The Net Live. It's Jay Hossick.
Thank you, thank you.
Nice always to have you in studio.
It's always a pleasure to be here. I love being in studio. I love being on the radio with you guys. It's a blast. So I had to come out here to recruit. I thought I'd come in and say hi.
I love it that when you show up in Southern California, you immediately switch to SoCal-issued flip-flops and board shorts.
Hey, listen, it's not just when I'm here. At home, I wear flip-flops as often as possible. Trunks are always a must. I'm definitely
it's
the guy
neck
that sticks out.
To waist, East Coast, Penn State, doing the job. Waist down, I'm at the beach. Take it easy.
Yes. Yeah, well.
It's also probably 30 degrees warmer here.
At least.
It's not that bad back home, guys. It's really not.
Not yet.
No, it snowed. It lasted on the ground for about an hour and a half last week. That was about it.
See, I like the snow.
I do too.
If I'm back east, I'm living in Colorado, wherever I've been. I'm always praying for snow.
I am that guy on my block, and I'm a music guy. So I've got I got speakers in our ceiling. I got speakers everywhere. I got on the deck. I got everything going on. I'm that guy that when it snows and I got to shovel the driveway, I open up my garage door. I put on my gloves. I get my jacket out. I get the shovel. I flip on the stereo in my garage. I got speakers blaring,
yeah,
whatever I'm in the mood for. And I am happy-go-lucky. I call it the snow flex instead of the bow flex. It's like my workout for the day.
Nice.
And I am the guy having a blast shoveling snow. And my neighbors are all looking at me from down the street just with that.
I think that's the new shovel you're going to put out, the snow flex
shovel. The snow flex. You know, I'm patenting that right now. So bow flex, if you're thinking of doing it, you better give me some royalties. I want 10%.
Let's let you know what you have on the program in store today. We're, of course, going to talk about the NCAA tournament. We are two rounds in to the women's field of 64, and there's plenty to discuss in the different matchups there and some interesting victories, as usual, when you put 64 teams together to play. We also have preseason All-Americans. Jay, perk your ears up. Here it comes. It's off the block. Vinny Lopes has provided us his preseason list of All-Americans for the men's side of the game, which will be getting underway next month.
I'm excited for the men's season to start, but today, as you put it, I agree, today we are celebrating the women's game and the big bracket going on, the big dance.
The big dance. And we also have a note, a sad note, David Courtney, who you hear. You may not know the name. He's not a volleyball guy, but you hear him every week when you listen to the show. He is the guy who recorded our voiceover for the intro to this program, and PA announcer with the Clippers until this past week, passed away.
Yes, he five seasons with the Clippers, but he'd been the Angels announcer forever, was with the LA Kings forever, was with the Kings when they won the Stanley Cup this last year, was with the Angels when they won their World Series. I had known David for probably about 7 years, worked with him, and we did a little moment of silence and another special treat for him Saturday night for the Clippers. It was a little difficult, but... our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Well, we sure appreciate his presence on this program, which will continue. Nice thing about being in this sort of business, when even when you pass on, your spirit endures just a little bit in pieces here and there. Kind of a neat thing. We do have for you on the program one fantastic guest. Actually, we know we have one fantastic guest, Mark Rosen, Michigan. They had a little bit of a victory this past week. Defeated Louisville.
Louisville.
Denied them the chance to play in their own Final Four. We had him on this program last year, and he convinced me to vote his team all the way to the Final Four, I think. We'll see if he can convince me of said thing this year. But Mark Rosen, in his 14th season at Michigan, will be joining us shortly here on the program. We've been working on Kathy George from Michigan State and Benbadipomemba. I can't even get all the names right, but Benbadipomemba from Cal. He was supposed to be on. We'll see if he calls in just because he remembers. And still working on Kathy George, because Kathy George, huge victory, probably biggest victory for her in that program. I'm just guessing, because I didn't go through her whole program, but I went through her history. I mean, she took over the first year. That team was 12-18, 5-15 in the Big Ten her first season.
Wow.
And this is a team that had been very good, Michigan State.
And you're in the Big Ten. That's, you know, arguably with the Pac-12, the toughest conference in the country. And you turn that program around that fast. That's pretty good.
She was the fifth coach in history, named in 2004 as head coach. So she's in her eighth year. She's had some time, but they have steadily improved each year. And they've had five NCAA appearances. This is their fifth under Coach George. So 5 and 8 years. Yeah, that's doing some good. They're 25-9 overall now, and they just defeated defending champion UCLA. And where was it? Oh, yeah, at Pauley.
Ooh.
So we're working on Kathy. With messages, emails, the whole deal, and we're trying to get a hold of her. Hopefully she comes through here during the program. If not, we'll endeavor to talk to her later.
I'm sure she's listening. She'll be calling in.
Of course. I mean, everyone in the volleyball world listens to this program.
Even
right?
The Sasquatch listens to this show.
The Sasquatch?
Sasquatch.
Who is the Sasquatch?
it's a mythical creature, Kevin. I'm just saying that everybody listens to the show. Okay. Even Jimmy Hoffa listens to the show.
Well, the bottom line is, kind of like when you're on air, people will say, well, did that really happen? I said it happened, so it did. That's kind of how you have to work with it. You know, in a couple weeks, we will be adding a female voice to this broadcast, at least for one day.
Finally.
Ooh.
Kelly Tennant will be joining us on the show in
nice.
A couple weeks,
nice.
17th, which will be coming out of the weekend at the AVCA.
Did you convince her to come live in the home court?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Impressive.
And I will be issuing a formal apology to Kelly Tennant for a broadcasting incident during said broadcast.
I think I've heard about this one.
Yeah. So there will be
we'll
a formal
it.
Apology and perhaps some sort of retribution exacted. I'm not sure. Might involve a paddle. And Jeremy, I hope the cat is not here to do its business in the middle of our studio
show.
Your
cat is eyeballing the litter box. I'm not pleased about that.
Yeah. Back downstairs, cat. Hold it. We're busy here. Let's talk about the first round. Let's get to this first round of the NCAA tournament, because it held some interest. And I have to tell you guys, I went 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I only missed 6 out of the first 32. 6.
I'm
so I went 26-6. In round one. Jay, I'm not sure how you did. And Geeter, he went to Costa Rica, so he doesn't even care how he did.
He's busy
watching birds and monkeys of many colors.
Where did you go?
26-6.
I did not go 26-6. I think I went 24-8. I think that was, I was doing the math, and my math does not add up correctly. But then again, I was not a math student. I was a sociology major, which allows you to do a lot of things except math.
Let's start out with the West Lafayette, Indiana bracket. I guess that's how you refer to them, because they're played all over the place. So you got to refer to them as their Elite Eight rounds.
Sure.
Is that about right?
That's about right.
So top left, if you're looking at your bracket, and Penn State shockingly defeated Binghamton.
It's a really good school, by the way. Really, it's in the SUNY system. Really good school.
Yeah, I'm sure it's an excellent school, and I'm sure they define student-athlete because student is written in all caps in 18-point, and then athlete is written in about 6-point, all lowercase.
Oh,
At one point, what was the score, Jay?
I think the score at one point was 17-0. They hung a three on him in the second game. Listen,
you're right. Penn State doesn't have an easy road.
That is let's not get into that discussion. That's a touchy subject. However, let's congratulate Binghamton for getting into the tournament. They won their conference, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. They got in. They gave it a valiant effort, and congratulations to their team and their coach. You know what? That's a good job for you, recognizing your strengths and weaknesses and knowing your place. And, hey, good luck to you next year. Hope you get back in.
Yeah. Suck on that, Kevin.
Well, they didn't win, so they must not have been doing a good job.
Obviously.
Oh, boy.
God.
Yeah. How many championships you win?
I dominated.
At Pepperdine?
At Pepperdine, yeah.
At Pepperdine, I believe I have losses to the eventual runner-up and the eventual champion, unfortunately. No playoff victories, as a matter of fact.
I guess you weren't doing your job then.
Apparently not. If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year.
Orange juice that? Slices.
You said that out loud.
Juice boxes and orange slices for everyone, Kevin.
I'm having a big debate in our flag football league right now because I serve on the board. And it's an interesting thing when you have parents that join a league and then want the league to be entirely different from what it is.
Example.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's the way the NFL does flag football, it is a passing league. There's almost no blocking, very little running. Players are spread quite far apart. There's almost no contact, right?
Yeah.
The way we play it is more like football, where there's a line, there's blocking, there's running, there's all this activity going on, but you're pulling flags, not tackling. And people have joined the league and now said, "Oh, it should be a passing league." Like, no, it's not a passing league. We are a blocking, full-on football tackle preparatory experience.
Preparatory.
Yeah. That's
awesome. And the other thing they want to change is we don't have a draft. We're basically a club system where you have a team, you can build your own team, guys recruit and stuff, but you keep your same kids.
Whatever happened to just being, hey, I'm part of this city block and this is my team and I played.
That's actually the idea, because what happens is you have a Redondo team playing a Manhattan Beach team.
Makes total sense.
And that's what happens, because you play with
your friends.
Which
is apparently why it doesn't work that way.
Is there also a passing league, like people could play in that?
There's lots of leagues around. There's like 10 leagues around here.
That's known as the arena preparatory football league.
Exactly.
Thank you. So, but my point is that they come into the meetings, they're like, oh, the league should be completely different. No, you should go play in a different league. Like, we have 700 kids in this league. This league has grown because it of its structure.
How many kids on a team?
12 to 100. 15.
100.
Yeah. I guess 10 to 15.
There's only two teams. It's 120 kids. Yeah.
700 kids between the ages of 5 and 13.
Wow. Now, here's
a
question.
This is a PG program. I had a comment. But
now, here's a question. Could you conceivably start a club, let's just call it the Redondo Eagles,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the name of your club. And that club, year-round, you are a part of that club in different sports. So you have a group of kids that are part of the Redondo Eagles, and they play basketball. And then when the season comes up, they change and they play baseball. And then they play fall sports. They play a little volleyball if you're in the girls, and they play football if you're the boys. But you are a part of that club throughout the whole growing up process.
That's almost a European experience. That's why we bring Jay in for these big. He wanted to take $1 million from Jeff Kent last time or whatever the guy's
name
is.
That's right. Apparently, I'm a socialist.
How dare you?
No, but I like these. I like these big ideas. I don't think that's a bad notion. But you can't play baseball in the spring. It's just not a good culture.
Why not?
It's just terrible on a youth level.
Why? It's spring.
They're psychotic about it.
What do you mean? I'm
baseball parents. Baseball parents.
Crazy. Okay. So it's the parents. It's not the kids having a whole experience.
No, it's not the kids.
Can you ban the parents?
No.
Seriously.
Is there gambling going on in your football league? Because there's apparently in Florida on the little peewees, the six-year-old kids, there's gambling going on.
There's drinking. I don't know if there's gambling. Again,
well,
by the parents, not the kids.
Listen, Chuck E. Cheese has set the tone for that years ago when they allowed beer to be sold at their
restaurants.
All right,
let's get back on track here, because really 11-3-9? 11-3-9?
11-3-9.
Yeah, significance of those numbers. That's the set scores for Binghamton against Penn State. Unbelievable.
Again,
we're not getting into it.
It's not Stanford. If they hung that on Stanford, that'd be another thing.
Yale defeated Bowling Green. Bowling Green defeated Yale. On my bracket, I was picking the smart kids. Too bad. So Yale did not advance. Penn State advanced again. Let me get out the real bracket. Quit reading off my bracket. There we go.
I picked Bowling Green on that, by the way.
Bowling Green. So they went 3-2, right?
Yep.
Get by the smart kids.
Yep.
Then Ohio State, Kentucky advanced. Florida State, Purdue, which I think we both figured on that one. Both those teams pretty good.
And Ohio State winning in 3 over Notre Dame. That's not an easy task. Notre Dame is a good team.
Yeah. No doubt. I picked Notre Dame on that one.
I did too.
Creighton and Minnesota. Now, I have Minnesota going pretty far here. I have Minnesota advancing all the way to face Penn State in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I
haven't
do
beaten
too.
Purdue. I had Minnesota and Purdue. Purdue barely getting by Florida State.
I had Marquette beating Creighton. I thought the boys up there, Szymanski and Dyer, were going to do some good things to that team. They've turned that program around, too, and done some wonderful things, but I did have Minnesota beating them.
I knew not much about either program. I picked Creighton. Lucky pick. I had Oregon over Northern Colorado, and I had Dayton over my own alma mater, Pepperdine. It turned out to be a good pick.
Just a little trivia question. Do you know what the mascot for Creighton is?
Creighton. Something with a gun and a Minuteman hat.
No, they are the Jays. I'm not kidding.
With your face or a bird?
The Creighton Jays. I have no idea. I have no idea.
I envision just a picture of you like, what's his name has on the back of his, from Jackass.
I rock, dude. Yeah, dude, I rock, or whatever it is. Yeah.
That would be their mascot, Steve-O. You doing that Steve-O face.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
All right, so Dayton and Oregon. That was the second round matchup. Oregon advanced out of there. That was the way I saw it going. Now, ASU lost to Oklahoma 3-2, and that to me was congratulations Oklahoma, but shocking. I thought ASU was going to take that one.
You mentioned it the other day. It was there a jinx going on here?
Well, I thought for sure the referees would loyalty would lie with Oklahoma. With Arizona State.
I would have thought so too.
And Jason Watson.
Yes.
To get them to the next round, but perhaps the referees did not want to end up in that quandary of who to make the call for, the home team or the home guy, in the second round, so they had to advance Oklahoma.
It is well known around the coaching circles that the referees in Utah are a little biased in some certain ways.
Anyone from Oklahoma, I'm just kidding.
Well done, Oklahoma.
Take it easy.
Nicely done.
Good job.
Restrepo. Is it Restrepo? Who's the coach?
Restrepo.
Yeah.
Also an outpost in Afghanistan in a movie that I watched.
I believe he played at Southampton? East Stroudsburg? He played East Stroudsburg back in the day.
Jerry, what's your problem?
You. Bringing up random things throughout the show. Oh, some movie I watched about Afghanistan. Like, who
have you not
that?
Watched Restrepo?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's
it's
why
a
it was
documentary.
Funny.
Why don't you get out of the DJ world, turn the music down, take the headphones off, get some information from the rest of the world once in a while, bud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of documentaries. I have not heard of Restrepo.
Keep going with the show.
Okay, chat board, fire up Restrepo, please.
Please.
Tell these two they're off base, and Jeremy, report back because I don't have the chat
board. But apparently that coach was a dominator when he played back in the day. I'm not lying.
We had him on here on the show. He was pretty good.
He was a good player.
Brazilian guy, right?
I don't know the nationality.
Colombian.
I know that he is a colorful character and a good coach, and congratulations.
He's a good dude. We'll see him at convention.
Cool.
It'll be fun. All right, Washington over Central Arkansas. No surprise there. Central Arkansas, congratulations on 30 victories.
Do you know what the mascot for Central Arkansas is? I'm a mascot guy, by the way. Anybody who knows me, when they have camps going
on. It's the Jeremy's.
No, it is awesome. They are the Sugar Bears. How sweet is that?
Literally.
Can you not picture the nights at the matches or at the basketball games?
Is it a gummy bear?
No, it's the Sugar Bears. The Sugar Bears.
Thank you, Casey Patton.
Boom.
The Sugar Bears.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
And what does your shirt say?
I think I have
wear,
to look
like,
it
your,
up.
Like your college shirt. Like I couldn't go to school there just because of that. It's probably a great school.
No. There are endless possibilities for the Sugar Bear. Endless possibilities. For those of you out there that know, the Sugar Bear.
All right. I'm seeing how far I have to go into Google here.
Are you fact checking me?
Before it predicts it for me. No, I just wanted to see how far it would predict it for me.
Ah, okay.
Arkansas Sugar Bear. Central Arkansas Athletics. Can I get a logo, please?
I think it's a purple bear or something like that.
It's a gummy bear. That's perfect.
It's a gummy bear. It's a Jerry Garcia
bear. It is.
Bear.
It's a big purple bear.
Oh.
The UCA Bears.
We need to have somebody on from that school to explain to us why they're the Sugar Bears. There's a legit reason.
Let me point out that if you put in their school and you look at images, there are two of their logo, lots of pictures of some coaches and players, and then the post Super Sugar Crisp box comes up. That's about the 12th item on the list.
This guy went to the Sugar Bear College.
Oh, those
I'm surprised
pants.
That didn't end up on the NetLife.
It's on
page.
My phone right now. It's going to be on the NetLife.
Dude,
sorry.
I'm taking a picture of this on my iPhone. Whenever you call
too?
Me, that's going to come up. That is fabulous. For those of you that cannot see,
it's my
I will,
senior photo.
Let me just your senior photo.
It's a glam photo.
Okay, picture this.
Glamour
he's
shots
in,
by Deb.
He's in a glamour shots pose, so he's leaning on one arm, sitting on his butt with the one leg up and the hand draped over. He's got a white T-shirt, which you know you can't really see anything.
It's my uncle's business.
He has got MC Hammer pants on. They are black and white, speckled like Pollock made
Zubas.
These things.
Zubas, yeah.
Zubas. And he's got on some Air Jordans,
yep.
And the hair is fabulous. Comb over to one side.
The Jordans are the only saving grace in that photo.
This will be posted
what
on
about
my
the
Facebook.
Hair? Not the hair?
The flowing locks, or no. You look like a 12-year-old boy.
Well, he still looks like a 14-year-old
boy. At 6'3".
I'm not lying. This will be on my Facebook post today.
Yes.
Oh.
Take a look at it. It's fabulous.
How tall were you in that photo?
How do we get from Super Sugar Chris back onto my photo?
Because you were talking
photo.
About sugar bears, and I was like, oh. This guy went to
I'm probably about, I'm about 6'4 in that photo.
As a 6'4? Freshman in high school?
No, that's my senior year photo.
Of college?
High school.
Right before Pierce. I'm sure they loved you at Pierce, by the way, looking
that's
like
that. That's a year before I went to Pierce.
I notice you're still not shaving yet.
I don't shave today. What do you
obviously.
Mean? Oh, some of us are hairless apes. What do
he's
you got
to, he's got to start his Movember in February.
Apparently, believe me, even if that happened, it wouldn't matter.
Apparently, Scottie Pippen was a sugar bear.
What?
That's actually true.
Even better. I want to coach at Central Arkansas. If you're listening, AD, I love my job, but if that job opens up, I'd love to be a sugar bear someday, for at least a day.
And if you're listening, Mark Pavlik, that's just how easy Jay Hossack's jumping your program.
No,
program.
I love my job. I'm not going anywhere. I love my job.
I like Cam Kerr's sarcasm on the chat board. He said, the men's team is called the Bears. The women's team was the Sugar Bears.
Oh, you know why? You know why? Because those kids don't have the courage, much like I did not have the courage in high school to wear pink. You didn't know that was the keys to the kingdom.
Pink's the new black.
No, if you have the courage to wear pink.
We've had this conversation before.
You are the man. Yeah. Look at this. That picture is going to make far too many rounds.
Oh, what's going on Facebook?
That could be like the new NetLive when you boot up the podcast. You're getting this on iTunes. That could be the new image backing the program itself. That would be lovely. All right, let's continue on here.
So good.
We got sidetracked by the Sugar Bears.
It's going on right now, everybody.
Hawaii beat Santa Clara. So Tom Cruise went down.
Member.
Tom Cruise lost, and then lost again to Washington.
Santa Clara, by the way, Wallace. John Wallace. Wally.
Tom Cruise.
Doing a nice job up there. Turned that program around. I had a couple of down years doing a nice thing, getting back in the tournament. Nice job, Johnny.
How about you and I beating Kansas State?
Not a shocker.
No?
No. I had Kansas State advancing, but not a shocker. Northern Iowa was very good. The Hurricanes.
If anybody's
are they the Hurricanes?
I'm sorry, I'm not listening to you guys.
No, Cyclones.
No, Cyclones. I'm sorry.
That's Iowa State.
If anybody's listening from the Sugar Bowl
Iowa State
College,
Cyclones.
Yes.
I want a shirt.
Oh, I want a shirt.
I wear a medium.
You know, I was kind of disappointed
I wear
logo.
A medium.
It's just a big purple bear.
You
it's
know what we need?
Purple.
You know
I'll
what we need? In your new office that we are going
to
build your little customized drawers and dressers and entertainment area, you need a wall of T-shirts from every program that either A, you talk to on the air, or B, that people just want to send in.
You know, we wanted to do something like that. We moved to the studio for a couple of shows. We were thinking about doing a whole studio concept, but the bottom line is until this show is pouring in advertising dollars, it's not going to happen.
But seriously, I want a Sugar Bear shirt. Medium. I wear a size medium. Hit me up on Facebook. I'll give you my address.
I'm not sure how the wife feels about T-shirts hung all over the wall. We need an extra room. If we had a man cave, it's no problem. I'm in.
If you move back east,
no man cave here.
You could afford a man cave back east.
I could have a man cave the size of a recreational gymnasium if I sold this house and moved back east. Atrocious home pricing here. Thankfully, it's coming back. All right, we don't need to review all these, I guess, because people saw what happened. But, I mean, Texas advanced. We figured that would happen. I had Cock getting through the first round, and it did. College of Charleston.
Penn State alum, Kepner. Jason Kepner, head coach. Nice.
Head coach?
Yeah, head coach at the College of Charleston.
I had an interesting moment with Kepner because he came up to me at Nationals or some adult event in Denver back in 2007 or 6, 10 years on from the national team. And I was talking to him, and I knew I recognized him, but I didn't know who it was exactly. And finally, I just asked him, like, dude, I don't remember. And he's like, really? I'm like, it was like a decade ago, man.
Oh, are you talking about the hand?
No. What? What happened to his hand?
Do you not remember this story? You were playing back then. So he's in the semis or the finals, one of the two back in either 96.
Did he tape the heck out of his hand or something?
No, tape it? He had pins in his hand. He had pins in his pinky, I think. It's either pinky or one of his fingers, and he had a cast. That guy played with a full-on broken finger with pins in it in the match.
See, I heard after volleyball he was, like, not digging ditches, but working in some manufacturing business or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
But,
I don't know.
Well, congratulations to him. Congratulations on him.
Well done, Penn Stater. Well done.
Yeah, good job. All right. I'm getting the high sign from Jeremy that we have our first guest, so we have to end this mess. It's a good thing, too, because I don't even know where we were going with that whole thing. You guys are just back to the photo. That's so wrong. Let's get your senior photos out. You're posting mine. I want to see yours.
Oh, I got
some.
The archive. I'll bring something up. I'll bring something up.
Because there's nobody who took a good senior photo.
I guarantee you, Jay nor myself are wearing hammer pants.
I tell you what.
I will
show you.
Hey, again, maybe you just didn't have the courage to put on the hammer pants.
Oh, I thought I still had them. I don't have them any. Oh, I got them on my face. I'll bring some up. I'll bring up an old picture of me in my little league outfit.
Hold on here. We'll get to our first guest in just a second. I'm trying to reboot here. Trying to get us back on task.
Shondi, can't wait to talk to you later on, my friend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, if you're listening. Make sure he's in. He doesn't listen. He's got meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Hold on here. There we go. Hit Karcha. All right. Jeremy, do we have some tunes?
Always. Let me just figure it out which one I want.
Sounds kind of low. There we go. That's a little better. We can't shortchange this man because he came on this program last year and killed it. So now we're bringing him back because his team is killing it. He's in his 14th season as head of Go Blue for women's volleyball. Took him to the Elite Eight in 2009, their first appearance in that level of the tournament. He could do it again this year. They're in the Sweet 16, coming off a great first weekend where they defeated San Diego. Oh, no, pardon me. Defeated Tennessee and then rolled through Louisville and denied Louisville the opportunity to play in their own Final Four. Welcome into the Net Live once again, Mark Rosen. Coach.
Hello?
Coach, are you there?
That's a great intro, Kevin, but this is Dan Fisher.
Fish dog.
Fish dog.
How are you guys?
This show goes. Fisher, thanks for calling.
Well, I gave you a hard time last year for your lack of NAIA coverage, so I thought I'd call. And this year, we just finished our national tournament last weekend.
And tell us about it.
Well, we won the national championship. That's why I'm calling.
You know, I'm just booting up Google. I'm going to check it.
Congratulations, man. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, we need a little bit of an NAIA education. So you're
Indeed.
At Concordia, there was some issues at Concordia that you have since obviously solved. Tell us about your team. Tell us about taking over the program and your success this year.
Yeah, so I've been the head coach at Concordia for 2 years. And so, you know, we made a great run last year and ended up losing in the finals. So we had the same exact team back this year. And so our goal was to get another shot all year. And we had a few very key injuries. One was to our, the best player on the team. Our defending NAIA player of the year was out for our entire playoff run. So it was a pretty neat ride. But I'll try to educate you guys about the NAIA. The way they do, you know, there's 250-something total teams in the NAIA. And the way they do their national tournament is, you know, after the first round, 24 teams make it to the host city, which this year was Sioux City, Iowa. And so we duke it out. They start with pool play. We duke it out over 5 days. And if you make it all the way, you end up playing the semis and the finals the same day. So it's a grind, and we're all pretty exhausted, but I thought I'd call in and give you a hard time for showing us no love.
Okay, so not only did you win, but you went undefeated, 38-0.
Indeed.
Oh, my goodness, 38-0. That is achievement wherever you're at.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone's asking about the perfect season, but we lost two starters throughout the year, one to an ACL, and another one landed on a girl's foot and dislocated her ankle. That was about a month ago. That's the one I just talked about, Brooke Marino, who you gave that big award to at the Final Four last year. It doesn't seem like it was without adversity.
Looks like my alumni donation dollars helped you with your championship, so I say you're welcome, Dan Fisher.
you have finished your master's, I take it.
I got master's there, master's in administration.
Yeah, Misty May is doing it right now too. There's a lot of players in that program.
My goodness, 38. No, that is a heck of a record. So, who did you play in the final?
So we played Columbia College in the finals, and I'll continue to try to educate you guys as much as I can. There's a big range of levels in the NAIA, but by the time you get to the tournament, and especially deep, when you get to the Final Eight, Final Four, you're in a legitimate D1 level. I'd say, top 100 RPI, and that's probably being safe. It's pretty heavily fun. Columbia College, I think, has five starting foreigners. We have two girls from China. And then also in the Final Four, which just to mention that a West Coast school is by all, they had a really nice team this year that we played in the semis. We got to the finals, and it was a great match. It was a four-setter. It was a slugfest. I need to probably rewatch it to figure out exactly what happened, but we were able to find a way. So we had probably the most steady team, and definitely the most balanced. We could set anyone at any time. So it was a really cool run, and I'm glad we finally got over the hump. Concordia had been runner up, I think, three other times, twice with Paula Weisshoff, once with me last year. So it was a pretty cool deal.
Well done, Dan. This is Jay. One of the things about the NAI, I think you touched upon it, is that there's a lot of foreign players. For lack of a better phrase, there's not many rules in terms of how old you can be if you So, it's one of those
wild
programs. Absolutely the Wild West. It's one of those things where if you've got a kid that wants to go there and you can afford to go, it's like come one, come all. So, if you could touch upon the level, there's been some programs over the years in AI, especially on the men's side, I know also on the women, where they're better than a lot of Division I teams.
Well, yeah, I'm still somewhat new. I know you guys from men's volleyball, and from what I know, certainly on the men's side, Cal Baptist had teams, that were way better in certain years than any in Division I and C2A teams, and that's mostly because, the NAI maximum's 8 full scholarships, and so that they actually, if the school's willing to fund it, they could have more kids on scholarship than an NC2A school. On the women's side, I don't think there's ever been a team, as good as the top women's team. So we play in the off-season, we'll play in, we have trouble having anyone schedule us in-season for RPI reasons, but in the off-season, we'll play, all the local D1 teams in the spring tournaments, and we're competitive. Once you get into the top 25, and the SCs, and those teams are a little too much for us, but we're pretty competitive with RPI 50-100.
Dan, what about the number of matches you guys are playing? I'm looking at Columbia College; they're now 42-2 with the loss to you. You guys are 38. Whole lot of volleyball.
It's a lot. There's 28 total dates, but for whatever reason in the NAIA, people love playing the doubleheaders. So pretty much every preseason tournament you go to, you'll play two in a day. It's a little too much for me. I'm a little exhausted after the season, but it's been a fun ride.
Okay, so you're 2 years in. National runner-up, now national champion. Where are you going?
To Disneyland. I'm just drinking a coffee right now, trying to enjoy this before I think about any. I'll be at the Final Four. Made that decision.
You want to, you give out your phone number
and
contact information?
You bringing a suit and tie?
No, you know, it's Concordia is a really neat school, and it's been great to me. And I've got a very good job. So I think, you know, you had Paul on here a couple years ago that I teach you about. It's a really good gig. You know, I live in San Juan Capistrano. You know, I'm near some pretty good surf breaks. It's, you know, I'm funded, you know, pretty well. Not quite as good as, you know, most D1 teams, but better than some. Like where I live. So I got a good thing going.
Yeah, we know how good it is. We know how wonderful it is. But we also know that when a coach like you does the work of being an assistant for a long time in Division One, moves over, takes over a head coach job at NAIA, and does well, as you have done, does incredibly, as you have done, we know that there are other offers that are going to come your way, and all of a sudden that surf break will be getting compared to Powder Mountains or something.
Well, you know, there was, you know, certainly there was, I got, you know, a little bit of interest last year, but made the choice to stay. There, you know, I've moved a lot, you know, the last few years. I was in Hawaii, I was at USF, and coached at Pacific, and so I like where I'm at. Certainly there's, I think every coach has a few, you know, places on their list, but you know, because I'm so happy with where I'm at a place, you know, where I, you know, it's, I'm in the Mecca. You know, I was able to help out a little bit with the USA staff this summer with the Pan Am Cup, so I was able, you know, it's a place I can recruit to. So there's a lot of positives, and, you know, I've been treated awesome, so I'm not out there looking to jump ship.
Dan Fisher, NAIA champion and a perfect season, 38-0. Dude, thanks for educating us a little bit. We appreciate that when people reach out and demand that we listen to them.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And maybe next time I can get a little better intro.
We'll give you a much better intro next time. Just shoot us a little email on the side, and we'll do it up. Especially 38-0. That's sick, dude. Great job.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Dan Fisher. Head coach and champion at Concordia University, and he will be in Louisville with his suit on.
Dan Fisher, one of the best bouncing setters in hitting warm-ups you've ever seen. He was at UOP when I was at Santa Cruz, and he would go up and take a few swings in warm-ups and would thump balls.
Is that intimidating for the banana slug?
It is, actually. Well, you know, when your setter is bigger than your middle blockers, it's pretty sad. It's rough.
All right. Well,
is Rosen even there? Is Rosen?
No, you know, he's coming 10:40.
Oh, okay.
Let's take a quick break here.
That's it.
I mean, I can roll us out. I just got an email here working on the Kathy George thing.
I
so
know, I can just.
I'm endeavoring to make the show better here. So they're in the middle of practice at that point. So I don't think we're going to have Kathy George, but we're gonna keep working on
and
getting her. Maybe she's got to win one more week.
Muted.
Goodbye.
The best college volleyball in the country is coming to Louisville, and you'll want to be there up close to take in all the action. Cheer for every point, witness every rally, experience it live at the 2012 NCAA Division I Women's Volleyball Championship, December 13th and 15th at KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Hosted by the University of Louisville and the Louisville Sports Commission. All session tickets start at $62. Visit ncaa.com/volleyball to make a date with champions.
Hit it. How? How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good.
Ain't so much bone, brother. How you feel, man?
I feel all right.
I saw your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here.
Yeah.
How you feel, brother? Hey, yeah. You're getting down. Look at him. Ha. We're going to have a bunch. Good time.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sports' biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com and subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottle Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
Welcome back to the Net Live. Kevin Barnett sitting in with Jay Hossick and Jeremy Roche. And Jeremy, I think we already did this once, but we're going to do it again because it was my mistake. We got Dan Fisher last time. This time, I think we have the right guy. Oh, different music this time, even.
Switch it up since you blew it the first time.
We want to welcome into the show this man for the second time. He's in his 14th season as head of Big Blue up there in Michigan. He came on the program last year, and he literally talked me into a national championship for Michigan. I think I put him all the way through. Well, maybe I didn't, but don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. He was great on this show last year. His team this year has had a very nice season, and they continued it through 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament, defeating Tennessee 3-2, and then taking out host Louisville 3-1. Welcome back to the Net Live, a man who's trying to put his team into the Elite Eight for the second time, first time since 2009, Mark Rosen. Coach.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for coming back, and we've introduced you twice, so we know a lot about you at this point anyway, and we're excited that you're here. Tell us about the first 2 rounds of this tournament. I mean, you guys didn't have an easy road of it. Tennessee and Louisville are nothing to sneeze at.
No, it will put me a lot of pressure on me with that intro, by the way. A lot of pressure from last year. But, It was a good weekend. You know, I think our team's playing really well right now. We finished off the Big Ten season playing extremely good volleyball, and just felt like we had some good momentum going in. And Tennessee was a great match where we were up 2-0 and thought we had things kind of in control. But you know how that goes in volleyball; that can change in a hurry. And next thing you know, we're fighting and scratching for a fifth game. And I thought we did a great job at competing when the match was really on the line. And Louisville's a very, very good team with a home crowd, and I think they had some very high expectations, and I thought played very smooth against them. And you know, even though they kind of took that second set away from us a little bit, I felt like our players never really doubted themselves, came back and played very steady throughout the match, and pulled a little comeback in the fourth set to pull it away.
All right, now you have Lexi Irwin and Molly Toon leading you in kills. Lexi with 24 leads, but she had 68 swings and 11 errors. Not a tremendous percentage performance, but definitely looks like a player who was there when you needed her.
Yeah, you know, we really don't want to send her that much, and we've kind of overused her throughout the year at times, and she's not a high percentage kid who's going to go out and get, you know, a really big number of kills on a small number of sets, but she's a very good volleyball player. She's low air. She tends to find ways to be patient, trust our defense, and if it takes two or three swings to get a kill, she's okay doing that. And so we've had some good success with her, but I definitely would like to be a little more balanced. I just think the way the match developed, we weren't able to do that. But she's been great for us. And Molly, in the last month, Molly's played the best volleyball of her life, and really has helped us take a big step in this later part of the Big Ten in the postseason, because she's just been so good for us. And she is a high kill kid. I mean, she can get going, and she can get a big number of kills in a small number of sets, which is helpful for us a lot.
Looking at stats in that Louisville match, I mean, 8.5 blocks for your side, which looks like a good number, but then 17 for Louisville, which makes me wonder, how do you emotionally overcome that? That so many times is a block for teams. Literally, when you're getting blocked that much, you tend to get down, but your squad did not.
Well, maybe it's experience. We've been blocked probably more than we'd like to, and a lot of times this year. And I didn't really. It's funny because we didn't really feel it during the match. I saw that stat at the end too, and I knew we got out blocked, but I didn't realize by that big a number. But it's one of those things where we're trying to find kills, and they're a pretty physical team. And I think that our hitters at times got a little overpowered by the block. But in the end, that's only a 10-point separation in points. There's a lot of other things that factored in, probably more points than that.
Who's the best conference in the nation? I think this is something that gets talked about a little bit, but maybe not enough. Pac-12 gets a lot of credit, and you guys over in the Big Ten beat each other up like crazy. We know the Big 12 is good at the top, but maybe not good through. But if it came down to a debate between you guys and the Pac-12, where do you think it lands?
Well, it's a tough debate. You know, it's one of those that always incites some pretty good argument from each side of the country and the continent. But, honestly, I think the Big Ten is a great conference. We have, I think the strength in the Big Ten has been just the top to bottom. I mean, it's crazy. You know, this year we were playing pretty well, and we had, win against Nebraska, win against Minnesota, and then we go on the road and play Illinois, who people would look on paper and think they had a tough year, but Illinois is legit. I mean, they're good. And they took it to us pretty good, and we played Northwestern, who, again, people maybe wouldn't look at and say that they're great by the record, but on any given night, they can play some really, really good volleyball. So we lose, two in a row, and then we come back and finish up with good wins over Michigan State and Ohio State. It's just the top-to-bottom part of it's really tough. It's a grind. I think the Pac-12 certainly has an argument for the same thing, but, we don't see them every day, so it's kind of hard to compare for me. I just know what our conference is like, and I can't imagine there's another conference out there that has as much top-to-bottom depth. And certainly, I think you look at the NCAA tournament now with 16 still in the Sweet 16 for our conference speaks well for how good our teams are and how much certainly respect I think that our conference deserves.
I did a lot of Pac-12 volleyball this past year, and we spent some time talking about some of the teams that were in the bottom half of that conference and the struggles that they were going through. If you're an ASU or an Arizona, and the problems of just losing so many close matches. I mean, you guys this year were 11-9 in conference, so nearly 500, but it at times can seem like a struggle for the kids. And how do you let your kids know, or are they really aware that it's a struggle where they're at, but they're struggling in the top 5% of the volleyball world, and that they are playing in such a difficult conference, and that's why these matches are so hard?
Yeah, there's no question. As a coach, that's one of the biggest challenges. I remember my first year here at Michigan, and the conference wasn't nearly as strong back then, but it was still pretty darn good. And I just remember watching videotape on our team and looking at stats and numbers going, man, I think we're a lot better, you know, in the last half of the season than we were in the first half, and yet now instead of losing in three, we're losing in five. And it's no solace for the kids. They're still frustrated. They want to win, and it is a challenge as a coach, but I think that's something that our players understand coming in, and they respect the teams we play, and they understand how good they are. So we try and keep it in perspective, but it can be really challenging. And a great example is Illinois this year, who I really have a lot of respect for. I mean, he's a great coach, but they're a great team. They've got some really talented kids, and they had a ton of five-set matches that just didn't go their way. And, you know, one or two of those matches go their way early in the year, and now they get a little confidence, a little momentum, and next thing you know, it's a whole different story. And I think there's a team like that or two or three teams like that every year in our conference that it's just a matter of almost a roll of the dice. And as a coach, that's certainly challenging, but as the athletes, I think it's even tougher because those guys are trying to, you know, keep their confidence about them even though they're playing pretty good volleyball.
Well, how about when your conference adds somebody, they just go ahead and add Nebraska?
We thought that was funny when they did that. Everybody's like, "Oh, hey, you know, different sports in our department." And we're like, "Oh yeah, they're okay. They're not great." I'm like, "Oh, that's a great ad for us because we didn't already have Penn State and Illinois and all these other schools." But it's funny now that you're adding, you know, Rutgers and Maryland, and there's like our field hockey team's freaking out because those are two really good field hockey programs, or our women's basketball team, same thing. But in volleyball, they're not quite as powerful. So it's always interesting when you add teams and what are they going to bring to the conference.
Yeah, and I wonder when it's going to stop being the Big Ten and start being like the Big 20. When are they going to change the name?
With us, there's no question they'll never change the name. You know, it's been interesting for me being, I grew up as a Pac-10 guy and a West Coast guy, and I really struggled with, I still struggle with the words Pac-12 rolling off my tongue. And so I think the Big Ten has really kept the mantra that we're going to keep the name, though we changed the demographic a little bit. And if you look at the logo, too, it's funny. The old logo was 12 teams, but it was, or I mean 11 teams, but it was the Big Ten, and they had a little subliminal 11. This last one, I never noticed it, but if you look at the Big Ten logo now that looks like the word big, it also could be B16. So, you know, a little subliminal there. I'm not sure if we're still going to, you know, we might still be growing.
Hey, Mark Rosen, Jay Hossack here from Penn State. You know, we don't have a natural rival, just for whatever reason. And growing up in Southern California, we always heard about the Stanford Cal and the USC UCLA and the Washington State and all those. Can you talk to me about this rivalry with Michigan State and what's coming up here in the future? How do you either A, contain those kids because the rivalry is so big and because there's going to be so much energy, or B, how do you rise them to the level of the occasion here? So talk a little bit about that if you could.
Well, it's funny you talk about Penn State not having a natural rivalry. In volleyball, it'd help if they'd lose a few more matches. That might help the rivalry situation. But, I think it is a big match with us in Michigan State. And, you know, I think here in Michigan we have two big rivals, with Ohio State being the one that's more of a campus-wide rivalry with football being the kind of roots of it, and it's pretty steeped in tradition. And then the Michigan State rivalry, and I think Michigan State one has always been a little bit tougher one because it seems just that in-state rivalry where the schools are very philosophically different, and there's just a lot of people that on both sides of the fence probably that really just dislike each other. I've always tried as a coach to stay out of that to some degree. I don't hate anybody. I just want to win, and so I don't try and take it too personally, and I try and make our teams kind of have that same philosophy where, you know, we're just going to play volleyball and we want to beat everybody, whether there's somebody we don't like or whatever. That's irrelevant. But it is a big challenge. You know, we played them early in the year at our place and we lost we played, I thought, poorly, and they played great and they killed us. Then we went to their place, you know, 10 days ago, and it was almost the exact reverse. I think we played very well, and I know they probably felt like they struggled. So this next one's going to be interesting because I think we're both playing very well right now, and it could just be an absolute slugfest, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. The one thing we've talked a little bit about, though, with the NCAA tournament on the line is it's a little less of a rivalry match because we're playing on a neutral site. You know, they're not going to have their crowd. We're not going to have our crowd. And there's really more on the line than just, we play for a state pride flag or those kind of rivalry things. This is for, you know, advancing the NCAA tournament. And they're somebody that they're in our way and we're in their way. And really it's going to be more about that because we both want to advance than it is about any kind of traditional rivalry or geographical rivalry.
Okay, so the away winner in both, as you mentioned, and 10 days ago, you defeated them 3-0 at their place, and it's on a neutral site. You are 7-0 this year on a neutral site. Seemed like a lot of things in your favor. How do you plan to attack their team?
Well, I hate to point out the obvious, but I think they're probably whatever and oh on neutral sites too. So that's a it's going to be an interesting showdown. You know, I think we know them pretty well, and I think they know us very well. So we have a very good, I think, game plan going in. But at the same time, you know, we know they do too. And so I think that it's going to be an interesting scout as we get closer to Friday to make sure we're really prepared. And what I'm a little not concerned about, I want to make sure we're cautious of is not overlooking the fact that, you know, we beat them at their place recently, but it's a different day. And we can't count on the things that worked for us there to work again, because I'm sure they felt like they didn't play very well and they're going to make some adjustments. So yeah, I think we'll go with a good game plan, but I think you always have to be ready to adjust and make you know, changes as you go. And certainly I'm not going to give up any of that game plan because I'm sure they're probably listening to this podcast as well.
Well, we tried to get Kathy George to come on after you so we could hear from both of you in this one, but they're in the middle of practice. And yeah, we don't want to know if you're going to sit the left in row five, but we want to know kind of what you know about them and how you would describe them as an opponent.
Well, they're a very good blocking team. Blocking's a big priority for them defensively. They do commit block quite a bit. They make decisions on where they want to go, you know, early in the rally, and that's something we need to be aware of. And sometimes it's okay to set in the commit if we feel like it's still the best choice for us. But there's many times where we need to try and work against their commit. I think if we can do anything possible to keep the ball away from their libero, Corey Moster would be great, because she's really, really good. And if you watch the UCLA match, she was great in that one, but she did the same thing to us. I felt like in our matchup at their place, we couldn't get a kill on the left side of the court. So, you know, that's something we've got to try and maybe be aware of, that might not be the best place to go if we have an option. You know, they're a very good serving team. I think Laura Wazinski's serve, which is kind of a hybrid between it's a floater, jump floater, but, boy, she gets a little bit of spin on it, and she hits it 100 miles an hour. That's a dangerous serve, and so we got to be ready to make sure we try and side out well against her, because she can get on a run at any given time. So, you know, those are just some little things we got to make sure we're ready for, but a lot of it comes down to the emotional side of it too, that we stay in the moment and we allow ourselves to, you know, when we struggle or we have bad points, let them go and move on to the next point, because in those rivalry matches, sometimes the momentum can be a huge factor.
We mentioned before you were in the Elite Eight in 2009. What would getting to a Final Four mean for your program? What would be the implications?
Well, I think for any program, it's huge. Even programs that have been there before, it's always a giant accomplishment to get to that Final Four and be in that elite group. It's certainly been our goal since the day we came to the University of Michigan. You know, this is a place where you have expectations of competing for championships, both in the conference and in the NCAAs. And so it's something we've been really trying to work toward. And but we're only two games away from it, but those are a long ways away. It's two tough games. And so it's something that we certainly have always kept in the back of our mind as our goal. But at the same time, we know we have to play, you know, one game at a time. And right now, Friday is the important one. And, you know, as soon as that's done, then we can move on to Saturday and hopefully still be playing. And then from there, you know, go to that next step. And I think the last time that we went to the Elite Eight and beat Stanford to get to the Elite Eight and then lost a close one to Hawaii, it was interesting walking into the arena. You know, we had a couple All-Americans, since we had to go to the NCAA or the ABCA convention for those All-Americans. We four of us walked into the arena before the semifinal game, and it was the first time I really sensed that myself as well as our players were just pissed we weren't there. And I thought that was a great feeling. You know, I was really proud to have that feeling and to have my players have that feeling, because they felt like, hey, this is realistic. We could do this. And so I think our team is in that same state now, that we know we're in a position where we could possibly do it, but we've got a lot of work to do.
And a lot, we're talking to head coach of Michigan, Mark Rosen. And Coach, you mentioned that other matchup on the other side. Iowa State and Stanford are playing one another for the right to go to the Elite Eight, and you had that victory in 2009 over Stanford. Give us a little bit of what you think about that matchup between Iowa State, and Stanford. We know that you're thinking about your match, but there's always a little bit of advanced scouting going on.
Yeah, we've only, because it's only Monday and we just started getting video last night, we've only started to look at them briefly. So I don't really honestly know much about them. I do know they're, you know, two great programs and two great coaching staff, so I know they'll be really well prepared, and they're going to battle, I'm sure, on Friday night. But I think psychologically, I don't think there's any question our team likes the draw of having to go through Stanford, and not because we don't respect them. They're a great team and a great program. But we've had some success over the last, you know, two or three years against them in the NCAA tournament. So for our players' psyche, that's certainly not a bad thing. They're a different team this year. I mean, they've got some tremendous freshmen that are making tremendous impact. And I've talked to a few friends that have seen them play quite a few times over, you know, out on the West Coast, and they seem like they're a totally different team as far as just charisma and you know, kind of fight from the last few years. So I don't think they're an easy out by any means. But I think in our team's mind, at least it's a team that they feel like they've had some success over versus, you know, you play at Penn State and, you know, nobody in the Big Ten's had very much success against them. And so, you know, that's not a really fun draw. So I think it'll be interesting to see. But again, we got to get past Friday night to have any chance to even think about that. But I do think it's, you know, it's a draw that at this point you feel like, hey, you know, we should go in there expecting to be successful.
Coach, thanks very much for making time out of your busy schedule. I know that you didn't take any time off yesterday. I wrote down here, took Sunday off when you didn't know much about Stanford. But I know you guys are working as hard as you can here to advance to the next round, and we sure appreciate you taking a little time here to join us.
No, I appreciate what you do for volleyball, too. It's great to have a voice out there, and I hear lots of great things about the show, and I know it's a great forum for our sport, so I appreciate it.
Hey, make it to the Final Four. We'd love to talk to you in person. You're going to be at convention?
Absolutely. I'd love that honor.
All right, Mark Rosen, head coach of Michigan. He's 25-11. His team is in the Sweet 16. They will be taking on interstate rival Michigan State coming up this week. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. All right. Mark Rosen.
Good times.
I gotta refill out my bracket now. I like Mark Rosen. I gotta maybe pick him to go all the way.
Final Four.
That's it. Jim Moore, you're out. Oregon, no more. Michigan's going. Big blue.
Oh man. Big pull right there.
I love it.
No, he's good. Mark always has good information. And Jay, you wrote it down when I asked him that question about success and getting to a Final Four. But I think even it applies to where he's at right now. Second opportunity to be in the Elite Eight in 3 years. You wrote down the words job security.
Absolutely. First of all, Mark, if you're still listening, I by no means think that you're in the hot seat. there is a large, large number every year of coaches who the carousel just keeps rolling and rolling. And
yeah, because Dan Fisher's looking for someone.
I don't know if Dan's looking per se, but there are lots that do. And for a number of reasons, there are coaches that maybe want to take the next step up or get an opportunity to bounce up. There are assistant coaches that are becoming head coaches. There are also head coaches that get fired and their staffs get let go as well. And so this almost sick carousel of coaching job opportunities rolls around about this time every year. And if you're a volley talker and you look on the job thread on the women's side, I mean, it's endless. And the pages, I think last year it was almost like 190 pages worth of communications back and forth about who this job is and this one opened up and why did this person get let go. And it's really, really sad. So I write job security because, you know, you make it to an Elite Eight and then a few short years later, you make it back to the Final Four if you do. And by all means, good luck to you. That is huge for your you know, your well-being, your peace of mind, because
yeah.
Your AD is not looking at you going, why are we not being successful? And when you're at a school, for those of you out there that are coaches looking to bounce up and you always say, God, I'd love to be at Stanford, or I'd love to be at, you know, Penn State, or I'd love to be at this school. When you're at a big time program, you're not there to just make sure that the kids graduate. You're there to win. And don't fool yourselves and think that it's a feel good moment. You get to that job level, you're making that kind of a money. There is no way that your AD is going to be happy that you don't make it to the big dance, and there's no way that your AD is going to be happy if you don't get somewhere every few years where there's some excitement going around your campus. That's how it rolls, and that's why you see now a large number of coaches that maybe over the years have been successful are now starting to go down to the D2, the D3, the NAIA, because there isn't as much pressure. And so that job, as great as it is, you're not winning. You're sleeping a lot less every single night. So
that's better than my quote about not winning. 191 pages on Volley Talk. That probably equals about 20 of actual information. 171 pages of mindless dribble and complete misinformation. 20 of actual information. There are people on there with real info, but boy, you got to sort it.
Yeah, I personally,
like any chat board, not just Volley Talk.
Exactly, and we are a nation and a society that hides behind, you know, these
keyboard warriors,
these
buddy.
Names, and it's so sad, you know.
Keyboard warriors.
Some people have come out and say who they are on there, and I applaud them for that. It's just a gnarly situation to see some of the things that are said. It's tough.
No, I'm kidding about Volley Talk. We kid about them all the time. And the trolls that exist on there, but
yeah.
It's a good place for a lot of discussion and a lot of information. And honestly, we need more of that going on in the world of volleyball. That's for sure.
I would agree.
We don't need less. We need better info sometimes. Folks posting stuff they have no idea about. Oh, I heard from my second brother's best friend who repaired the car of the coach at the Sugar Bears that he's out.
The Sugar Bears. Well, my favorite is the person who has the one post or two posts and claims to be in the know and
just
got in there because you know they wanted to clear the air about something. Yeah, nice job, one post guy.
As soon as you type in the know, you have sacrificed any credibility. It's all it's all gone. I mean, it's a blatant giveaway.
You know what we need? And next time Geeter is in studio, maybe
that'd be February.
Here's what we need. Do you remember Jim Rome? When he did Softball Guy,
no.
For those of you out there that know what I'm talking about, Jim Rome, sportscaster, went to UC Santa Barbara, by the way, a gaucho.
Gaucho.
He does his show.
Is that why he's so angry?
And he does rants every once in a while. He did a rant
once
years ago.
Once in a while?
Called Softball Guy. I suggest you YouTube it. It is hilarious. So what we need.
It's like saying occasionally I say something a little bit of a problem in this show. Occasionally Jim Rome goes on a rant.
We need Geeter to do a rant about Volley Talkers. That's what we need. We need it written
down. We got a little rant out of him last week when he was here because we were having a similar discussion to what you and I were having about the critical analysis of our sport and the need for it and the lack of it.
Yes.
From a lot of folks.
Yes.
And the question I wanted to ask is something we got into just before we got back on air is that it's a small community.
Yep.
And so a lot of times you have folks in positions that need another job or are a coach or they have multiple roles in the community. And so they can't really be honest or I guess direct maybe, about their feelings of what should be done or how the game ought to be played or what decisions should have been made and second-guessing people, second-guessing or giving critical analysis to the game. And that, in my opinion, has to happen. We have to have, if we're going to be a legitimate sport, we have to have critical analysis of what's happening with credit for success, but also not blame for failure, but honesty about why things didn't go the way that team or individual had hoped.
Well, and Jeremy, if you were going to say something, I apologize. Here's the reason why they don't, and this is my own theory. Here's why when you're watching a match, let's say you were watching a Pac-12 match, and you've got two announcers, and the one wants to start talking about strategies and these, and we talked about this. I want to overload. They want to overload the left side and you know run the gap, run the go, and run the isolate the red. At that moment, you start to go over the head of the average viewer.
I don't think that's ever been pulled back by Pac-12. And Geeter was saying that last week, but I've never had a producer in Pac-12 pull me back from the brink of volleyball specific stuff.
Oh, I wish. And let's be honest. Also, the average viewer of volleyball probably knows a little bit about volleyball. It's not a sport that you're just flipping through the channels on a Saturday and
it's
raining.
That was my point.
No, they sought it out.
Yeah, and you're going, oh, it's a volleyball match. I think I'll stay and watch this for a little bit. No, you're probably a fan. You're probably an ex-player.
You know,
maybe
the sport.
A coach. You know the sport. So I agree. That's why I wish they would. But here's the other reason why they will. And you had Mick Haley on here a while back, and when you ask questions to Mick, he goes right to the heart of the reason why something is happening. And the reason he can do that is because he does not care about
his
job.
He's beholden to no one.
Exactly. Nobody is looking at him saying, well, we would hire this guy, but he's too forward. He's too brash. No. He's got job security.
You know, the other thing is I think some of the folks that are being asked these questions themselves are a little bit agitated when they get criticized, and so they don't dish it out.
Good point.
Because they can't handle it when it's said about them.
It's a good point.
And it's not to be malicious. I'm not looking for more maliciousness in the sport. What I'm looking for is honest critiques of what's happening. And people accuse me of being too negative. Well, okay, you can go the other way. That's fine. But we cannot have teams that are losing or teams that were supposed to win that lose that were doing a great job.
Because if they were doing, everybody was doing a great job, everybody would win.
Well, let's look at the women's national team.
Okay.
In the Olympics.
Okay.
In the finals against Brazil.
Yep.
Best team in the tournament.
Yep.
They did not win the pivotal match. They made a lot of mistakes, sets 2, 3, and 4 of that final.
Especially after watching the first game, you see the absolute domination by the U.S. women.
Or watching them through the entire tournament.
Sure.
And watching the way they played and reacted to different situations.
Sure.
I mean, it's a whole lot of that stuff. And
look, they did not play well for three sets.
Yeah.
Now, if you say that, immediately there are people, some inside and some outside, saying, oh, you just don't care. You devalue them. You're so negative. But no. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
And you're saying what everybody's watching anyways.
Well, you sucked in three sets. You guys blew up somehow. And I don't know how. And they don't either. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with that particular situation is they don't know either. It was a very weird situation. In 4 years of watching that team, I had never seen those looks. I had never seen the team dynamic function that way. You have Hugh on the sidelines. Hugh was a little bit out of character, I think, trying to kick his team back into character, and it just didn't happen. It was a very weird situation, and to not talk about it, to not address it, to not call it what it was, which is an unbelievable aberration, an unbelievable change in character and collapse at the moment of the coronation, basically. What should have happened should have been a coronation of that program and those people. Should be addressed honestly and talked about.
Does part of that come into play where you are a representative of not only your team but of USA Volleyball, and what a coach, and we'll use Hugh as the example, and by no means am I an insider on this thing, but let's use him as the example. Does Hugh have an obligation to his boss to be positive at all times? Because USA Volleyball has hired people.
No, he has an obligation to be honest.
Yeah, he has an obligation
to
be honest.
And I think Hugh is.
But I don't think you're going to get the brutal honesty to the public, because the public they can't handle that. The public can't handle chastising people because they feel that it's putting people down. There's, regardless of the intent of the direction, regardless of the reality of what really happened, the public can't handle that kind of stuff. It comes off is choppy and negative and without any kind of educated background. And that's what people don't want to hear.
Do you think there's a difference between men and women? Like, do you criticize women less?
I don't know. But in our sport, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm not sure.
I don't think that matters to you.
Offhand, I mean, without really getting into it, offhand, I don't think there's been any difference in our sport. I think our sport has been incredibly positive. One of the reasons is that There's a feeling that if you're negative about the sport, you're somehow not promoting it. And also, there's so many intertwined relationships, because it is such a small community, especially at the international level. And even at the women's collegiate level, at the elite top of that, it's such an intertwined community that people have a hard time just being critical because folks will take it the wrong way.
Don't you need
because you need a job, or you'll need that person, or whatever. And I don't say I want people to be malicious and fight with each other.
Sure, sure.
I just want an honest critique of, hey, this wasn't a good play. This wasn't a good match. You didn't do a good job. You didn't prepare properly. And don't say, oh, they prepared properly. They did everything right, and they still lost. How'd that happen?
Well, in other aspects of your life, don't you need to be critical to get better?
Sure.
Exactly. Wouldn't that work in this situation too?
Don't all, I'll just use the word champions as being people that win. Don't all people that are champions look back on their careers and say that the biggest lessons were learned from losses? They weren't learned from winning.
Right.
They were learned from losses. And having a honest critique of why and being able to make those changes is the reason why they got better. And I think anybody would agree with that.
And I think right. That's what you're saying, is that it's not, I'm not trying to crush you. I just want to be,
sure.
I'm critiquing what I'm seeing. And letting everybody know why things happened the way they did.
And some people get a little sensitive because they get so used to success that when they do have failure and people talk about it, then all of a sudden, I'm not being treated the same way that I was treated in the past. I'm just too used to being idolized, and I can't handle any sort of criticism.
Well, and now let's take this to full circle, because here's where I think that the crust is. If you're a coach that's been in the game for 20 years, and you've got somebody that walks into your gym and in 5 minutes is looking at you going, hey, how come you're running this? This doesn't make any sense.
True.
Now, all of a sudden, you as that 20-year veteran are going, step away, kid. You bother me. I don't need you in my gym telling me what to do. I've won more in 1 week than you have your whole life combined. I've actually worked with coaches like that, by the way, where my opinion was nothing. You know, when you've done it as many years as me, you'll understand how it should be done. And my response was, just because you've done it longer doesn't mean you're doing it better. And
true.
That should be the way that our coaches in the country look at things. It's not. And I think you can run that across the board in any sport. A coach that's been in the game for a long time is not going to allow some punk snot-nosed kid come in and give you critiques on what you should be doing when you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, first of all, if you're a punk, wipe your nose so you're not the punk snot-nosed kid. Get some Kleenex. No, that's true. And you run into that everywhere. It's not just a volleyball problem.
Yes.
That's a society problem. But there's somewhere where the rubber meets the road, where you have someone who's been on top for a very long time, or a coach, player, administrator, professional, lawyer, whatever, and you have someone of perhaps 10 years experience, a third of their experience, but the world has changed, the paradigm has changed, or there's different needs to the system nowadays, and that person has the amount of experience that actually is better than that other person who's been there longer. I mean, there's somewhere where those meet. It's not the guy who walked in the gym was there for 5 minutes, but maybe there's a coach who's been there 25 years and there's a coach who's coached 10 years, and then you have a bit more of an equals argument. I don't think you have to have 25 years each to have an equals argument. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But I think the respect between the two coaches, if there's that discussion, has to be there. And I think there's a lot of respect amongst the old school coaches that have been around the game with each other for a long time. And I think there's a new school of coaches coming up through the ranks that also have that mutual respect for each other going up.
Yeah, there's always that generational conflict.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, look, I put stuff out there on individuals, on players, on teams, and that kind of stuff. It's my opinion. And my opinion is worth whatever it's worth. It's just my experience and my opinion.
Sure.
And if you don't like it, I'm okay with that. Just tell me where I'm wrong. If I'm completely wrong, if I screwed up a stat or someone's presence, I'll own that. That's no problem. But otherwise, if you just don't like it, that's different. You may not like my opinion. You may not like that I think you're not performing to your potential. You may not like, because I've said that about some international players, you're not performing to your potential. And for me, with the national teams in particular, I care. I care about that program. I care about that legacy. I'm not looking to rejoin or compare to me. No, I care. I want to see that program have success. And if you're out there doing things that are counter to the success of that program or you as a developing player, then I'm damn well going to call you on it.
Yeah, you have
get your ass out of the bar.
Yeah.
And get your ass to bed so that you're ready for practice on Monday.
Practice.
Because you have these 8 years or these 4 years or these maybe 12, if you're really lucky, 12 years, to be on this team and to focus and play. Drink the rest of your life.
Play now.
Play now. Help yourself, help the team. And I know it's hard to do. I know, believe me, I was there. But you have to be okay with your choices. If your choice is to party and someone says, what are you doing? That was your choice. You can't then rage against the person. It's not the person. It's you made that choice to not live up to your potential. And sometimes these kids are not playing to their potential. And sometimes they are. And I'll give it to you on both sides.
Look, if I turn into an indoor match that I don't know indoor volleyball as well as I know beach, and I'm watching Penn State smash Binghamton and they get 3 points, why are they only getting 3 points? Like, I would need to, like, you explain to me why they're getting smashed and being critical of them, I think is okay, because if I'm a new person watching the sport,
yeah,
that's educating me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You know, like,
sure.
It's watching football. Romo throws an incomplete pass. The receiver went one way. He threw the pass the other. That's like, oh, did the quarterback suck and you just threw it away?
Who didn't make the adjustment?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So you tell somebody that, they learn, as opposed to being like, oh, they just suck.
That was Binghamton did not make the right adjustments in set number two.
You know, it's kind of like that time when we were at the North Sakis, Jeremy, where it was you and I,
yeah,
and you were saying, hey, I don't understand why this is happening. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what's going on. Now, the challenge is, I may not know what the coach's intentions are. We both know this game is so organic. There's you could tell a kid all day long, hey, we're going to commit with the middle here, but all of a sudden the pass isn't good, and then now we're back in square one where we're kind of guessing what we should do. So, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, when the Final Four comes around and we're all in Louisville, whatever you want to call it, and there's an opportunity, let's do it. Let's try to be a coach's corner type situation where we have somebody like yourself, Kevin, and someone like myself and Jeremy, where there's some real dialogue going on here, where we see something going on and we say, hey, I'm not seeing this and I want to see this more often. Let's see where it goes, because it'd be interesting to see what the response is. You could create a whole new media.
We need to switch topics. But there needs to be a note first. You characters.
Did you get a
I have 21 emails in my inbox. The entire page well the entire done. Page of my iPad reads Facebook.
Yeah.
Because you put up that picture.
My phone is blowing up because it notifies me every time somebody leaves a comment.
Good gracious.
You're welcome, Kevin.
Well done, people. Well done.
Let's get on to our next guest. We're already running late. Sheesh. This is... There's the music we know. We're going to bring in the men that we know for the segment that you know. Facebook all around. I almost swore at you because, you know, it isn't live.
Robbie Sparrow. We can do that. Checking in on the Facebook page.
Each week, the Net Live is proud to present the best of what was and a preview of what will be in the world of collegiate volleyball. We do so in association with the American Volleyball Coaches Association. And this is College of Volleyball Weekly. We're glad to bring in our normal correspondents. I think we have our two normal guys, at least. What's up there? 605-615-310?
310 and a 510. That one scares me.
No, 510 is not the right. Is that Rosen still hanging on
Maybe
there?
It's Dan Fisher again.
There's 310, but there's 510. I don't know if that one...
Quick, look up the area code for me, but bring in Mike Sondheimer anyway. Sloppiest intro ever, but today it is. Mike Sondheimer.
Yes.
All right. I listen,
Hello,
I know.
Sandy.
I know. We appreciate you calling in. First of all, thank you for calling in. I know you're wearing a armband today around the campus must have interfered with your call in, and I expect your mood to be somber.
Yes, very much so. Everything that could have lost this weekend, lost in my world. So, yes.
Bay Area. Oh, it's Ben Bodipo Memba. That's who's calling. We'll get to Ben Bodipo in just a little bit. But, Sandy, first of all, will you text Rosenthal? You got Rosenthal's number?
You know what? I think I do. I'll see.
Okay.
He's going to be in Louisville morning.
This first round, I mean, there were a couple of surprises in the first round, but I felt like the second round was a little more surprising than the first.
I felt like both. The nice thing is there was great parity. There's a lot of super matches that went to the end, and I think 12 of the seeds still advanced. There's still the advantage of playing at home, but it's a competitive tournament, and it showed that too.
What do you think about Michigan State? We're not going to be able to
2,000 miles to play that rematch. What's interesting about that is that Michigan State beat Michigan on Michigan's home court in the regular season, and Michigan beat Michigan State on Michigan State's home court in the regular season. So now they play the rubber match in Berkeley. And they're both really, really talented teams. Michigan State played absolutely great on Saturday to beat UCLA. Kathy George's team had a super game plan and won a tight second game and executed it, won a tight fourth game, and give them a lot of credit. The thing that really has helped a lot of teams in college volleyball this year and a big thing to look at in the next couple of weeks is the 6-2 offense with the 15 subs. You've got teams around that 6-2 offense like a Washington, Michigan State, teams like that. Even Stanford's played a lot of 6-2, and it's really helped them with the extra subs to, I think, really use those extra players, extra specialists, to improve their blocking, improve their front court play. And whereas a team like Penn State has primarily used the subs to take out people and use it for passing and defense. And it's varied by the sport, but I think that's really the big thing for this year to look at.
Yeah, and you can hide freshmen.
With the unlimited subs. You know, it's kind of like the six-man where you have the tall guys in the front and the small guys in the back at all times. Hey, Sandy, you know, this is probably going to be the first time that but Michigan playing against Stanford or Michigan State, either one of those, they're going to almost be a home crowd advantage because Stanford playing at Berkeley is not going to be a friendly crowd.
I think you're totally 100% off.
Really?
I think nobody from Cal will go to the match because it's and Stanford will have a tremendous amount of people drive across the bay. They're having a great athletic year, and I think three teams in the Midwest, counting Iowa State, that Stanford will have a decided home court advantage, which you can watch on TV on ESPNU on Friday and Saturday.
I think you underestimate the Cal Bears, my friend. I've lived in Northern California, and trust me, they will take any opportunity to slam the other team. In fact, I think the Cal website the Cal website years ago was Beat Stanford, and that was
the I know website. But the biggest problem is they have to pay to get in. I can't see Bears paying to get in to watch the Cardinal play.
Might be some first of all, Bears don't have any pockets.
There
that's right.
Some fans of me.
Yes, we understand. But I know. I think. I mean, realistically, Stanford's got a side advantage. Penn State will have a side advantage if Minnesota beats Purdue, which is going to be a great match since Purdue upset Florida State. I think Texas has a side advantage, but SC it plays very well on the road, so that would be a great matchup if they get there. And I think Nebraska at Omaha has a great advantage too. What's interesting though is the Jim McLaughlin versus John Cook battle, which is kind of legendary with the handshake and everything else. Could be a lot of fun on Friday.
Scorpions in a box.
That ball was in.
That ball was in. All right. California State, because Wichita State, they're a nice little program. They've had a great year. They came in 22-9, good year, beat Arkansas, then defeated Kansas 3-1, and this is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I mean, you have to look at how solid the Missouri Valley has been, because what you have to go look at is Creighton, which won that league, won its opening match. They won the first game against Minnesota. They lost a heartbreaker. They were ahead in set three, lost that, and lost in four to Minnesota. They could be in the Sweet 16, too. So that conference is one of the underrated conferences. The one that kind of bombed was the WCC, with only BYU advancing. Their six teams are out, that they didn't do as well as I thought they might do. But BYU can give Oregon a heck of a battle. I mean, Jennifer Hampson, in my opinion, is the player that people don't know that really is a first-team All-American that could be an Olympian someday, that she's just a tremendous player I think very few people have seen or know about.
Does the only team advancing BYU from the WCC pose a problem for next year with the WCC may not getting that many teams in?
Concerning the way the committee operates, no. I think what you're looking at is whoever the best teams are from the best conferences, because then you go to the Big Ten, only got seven, and six of their seven are still playing in the regionals. And Ohio State gave Kentucky a heck of a battle before losing.
Exactly. So my point being, does the Pac-12 not get, or does the Big Ten not get a couple more in, and the WCC maybe lose a couple?
I think that the conference has got to improve is the Big West. I think WCC benefited because Long Beach wasn't very strong. Santa Barbara, UOP, San Luis Obispo, there really wasn't teams to push them. So I think that they did it. And then the Pac-12, a couple teams didn't beat those teams they had to beat. I think it gave conference strength as USF beat Cal, things like that.
And on the head, the Big West does need to get more than one team in. It's been that way for a while where it's one and maybe two. But that
right,
picking up a couple matches. And Jeff Stork's credit, Northridge did a nice job this year.
Yeah, he did a nice job at Northridge. I should credit him too. But I mean, you look at nationally, and it's a national game. You look at the teams, and everybody has national players. There's nobody just with a team concentrated just from their own area. They might have some from the region, but people stretch out from all over now. And even look at Stanford. In the Stanford starting lineup, they got a player from Oklahoma. They have a player from Florida in their starting lineup. They have a player from North Carolina in their starting lineup. So I mean, it varies now all over. The top schools recruit at every place. And the schools that are in the middle level trying to get to the top, they're recruiting every place.
Congratulations to Chris Lamb at Wichita State, their first ever.
He's done a great job.
We've met him quite a few times down there. RJ Arabella, Abella down there, big supporters of USA Volleyball, the national teams, World League, been played there a couple times at Wichita State. The Shockers. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You like that logo, Jay? That kind of looks like you with some extra hair.
That is awesome.
Now, if it's SC Texas, as McGee did the pep talk to try to beat the Trojans after what happened last time, USC and Texas played to get to the NCAA semis.
Well, I recall.
I know McGee waits. I know he's got a pep talk when they get to the NCAA semis or finals, but maybe they need it in the regionals this time.
All right, let's bring in Rosenthal because he's online finally. We're not sure what happened to him before, but he's back.
I was away on business. I was doing a all region conference call that was a marathon, 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
3.5 hours.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I never heard of that before, and now that I've done one, wow.
Brutal.
All right, give me Rosenthal. I wanted to ask you about Kentucky and Penn State because that's the matchup. That's going to happen in West Lafayette in that round. And does Kentucky have a shot?
They do if they're balanced enough. That's what I should say. They're balanced enough to have a shot, and they've got great right side play out of Whitney and Billings. They've got good outside hitters, solid middle work, and then their defense and serve receive is definitely there. I think it's going to have to be what's happened with Kentucky over the past probably 2 or 3 months here is one of the outside hitters didn't perform well. You know, so it's kind of like everybody's going to have to be on, but yeah, they have what it takes, and they have the personnel to do it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but they definitely have the stuff.
Okay, update on the Facebook page. I have 34 emails in my inbox now. Thanks a lot, guys.
By the way, that picture was awesome.
All right, Rosenthal, one more for you. Purdue and Minnesota in a matchup there. That one also looks to, on paper to be a really fun one to see.
No doubt. Purdue is that team that I told you guys before the tournament, watch out, trying to figure out all year long. But I figured if they could just kind of get going, you know, it was going to be tough. Here's what I'll say. Obviously, the match is in West Lafayette, in their backyard. So it's going to be a huge Purdue crowd. It will be interesting because their student support is very, very good throughout the year. But I'm going to have to give the nod to Minnesota on this one.
Yeah, don't say the word Purdue around a Boilermaker. It will be an awful moment for you.
Purdue. I want you to pick these matches here, and I'll start with you, Sandy, and we'll start with Texas, Florida, and Wichita State, USC.
I like Texas and USC. I think Florida has some personnel that can give Texas some problems if they give them some, if they can serve real tough. But I just think Texas is in a real good groove, and Haley Eckerman's as good as any player in the country right now.
Yeah, Eckerman and Webster are unreal. Okay, yeah. Texas USC matchup to hit the Final Four.
I said last week, I still think USC has got a heck of a chance of beating Texas at Texas. I think McHaley will have a really good plan. I think that USC has very good ball control. There's nobody else like Natalie Haglund in the country to dig up the balls of the outside hitters. And USC, if they can run their middle successfully against Texas's big middles, I think USC has got a heck of a chance.
All right. Rosenthal, I'm going to have you pick the next bracket because I know Sandy doesn't even want to address the bracket that his Bruins are not in. Michigan State versus Michigan, Iowa State versus Stanford.
Great matchup. This is what I love about these, you know, bracketed tournaments is right here, Michigan versus Michigan State. I'm going to take Michigan here. This will be a great rivalry match, and both teams have been playing well. Michigan has been on fire the last 2 weeks. The week coming into the tournament, even the week before that, and now obviously having a great tournament so far. Stanford is way too tough, and I have them over Iowa State, and then Stanford over Michigan.
Your bracket looking a lot like mine. Mike, Oregon, BYU, not at BYU, significant discount for them. Washington at Nebraska.
I think the Huskies, if Van Zandt can stay healthy, have a heck of a shot at upsetting Nebraska and Omaha. And I think that Oregon has a real good shot at beating BYU because they're just real consistent. And I think Washington, Jim McLaughlin, this may be his year to get back to the NCAA semis. I just like what they do. And I just think, I don't know if you heard me earlier, Rosie, but I was talking about the 6-2 with the 15 subs. If you can really put the right players together, it covers up some holes and gives you a chance to win. I think Washington's got a real shot at that.
Okay.
Yeah, the 6-2 has really been kind of the story of the year that has not really been covered to its due. I think that some people have talked about it early on, and then it went away. This is a story that people have got to investigate more about. I know as a coach, you know, with the subs and things like that, it's definitely something that I am not a fan, never have been, never will be, but as moving forward, I've got to look at it and make it a real possibility.
I think so, and that's the problem with the subs. It was supposed to give more opportunities, but really what it did is it allowed teams, if they stockpile enough big players that they can, and they have two setters, they can survive and make it that much better and really not be necessarily the best volleyball, but the most physical volleyball.
And I'll say this, one last thing on that note. The teams that I've seen running the 6-2, their setters have been okay, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're great. I'm not saying that they're bad, but I'm just saying they're just okay. They don't have to do as much.
Going to be a hot topic for sure come convention here in 2 weeks. So
Who picked that last bracket? That was you, Sonheimer. You had Washington going to the Final Four. All right, Rosenthal, give me the top one. Penn State, Kentucky, New Minnesota.
Penn State, Kentucky. I've said it for the past 3 or 4 years, kind of like what we talk about with the New England Patriots and Belichick. You don't pick against Russ Rose. And maybe that's just because that's my nickname. But I think Penn State ends up taking Kentucky. I'm going to call this one in four. And then down at the bottom, Minnesota, Purdue. I'll go with Minnesota for another great, you know, matchup to get to the Final Four. I'll take Penn State in three on that one.
Bad bald guys.
Ooh. Battle of the bald guys?
Yeah. Doesn't Russ Rose?
Who's bald? Oh, Russ Rose has gray hair.
Just gray
hair?
I
love Russ Rose.
What are you talking about?
My fault. All right.
No.
I just take that as a slap against all us bald guys. And first of all, Russ Rose is not in our club. Sorry, Russ. But you got to earn that right. Skinner is.
I don't particularly want to be in that club. I'm very happy not being in that club. if we keep scaring Barnett, he might be there in the next 5 years. So.
Russ, on the East Coast right now, that always has his air conditioner on, even when it's snowing. His office is consistent 40 degrees.
Well, hey, it's been a club. I don't know if you guys could hear Rosenthal, but it's the bald guy's plaid shirt that Hugh McCutcheon and Ren Rosenthal will be in once again this year convention, I'm sure.
That's right. Great minds think alike. Sorry.
So just to update our listeners, both you guys, give us your Rose.
I didn't hear what you said that last time.
I didn't hear what you said.
I
cut off.
You're talking about the Final Four. The final picks for me is you're going to have Penn State versus, in my bracket, Nebraska, and then Texas versus Stanford. I will take Stanford and Penn State for the championship, and I will take Penn State as the winner.
All right, going with Rose. Mike.
I've said Penn State and Stanford all along, and Stanford, John Denning gets the NCAA title.
All right.
I don't know if you guys talked about this, but did you mention Penn State won a set 25-3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it.
We talked about
That's
it.
That's ridiculous. Redonkulous.
Hey, if sometime they would ever ship a decent team to Penn State, I would be so excited. And as long as Penn State keeps getting in the tournament, and they'll be one of the top seeds again next year since they got basically everybody back, it just would be nice if the NCAA for 1 year, instead of looking what schools could drive, would actually ship a school to Penn State and let them have to play a tough second-round match. Because you look at the other 15 teams all had to play a much more competitive second-round match.
Can anybody on the listening hear that? It's the tiniest violin playing right now for you, Sonny.
I know. Now you're just opening it up for the Hawaii fans to call in and join in this conversation.
I don't blame the Hawaii fans at all, and there's a lot of other ones. I mean, I don't even blame the Louisville fans. I mean, having to play Michigan or Tennessee in the second round, that was no cupcake, and obviously they got beat. And even, you know, you look at some of the other ones in terms of who teams had to play.
I think if you tell me that Ohio State is not a formidable team, or Florida State,
for sure,
Minnesota.
We're talking about the first two rounds, though.
So Creighton had a great year to have to do that, and Creighton deserved, and Wichita State's in the Sweet 16. Creighton was a team that beat Wichita State.
No, but the RPI they went through last year was insane. It was like 162 or, I don't know, whatever the total was.
Boo-hoo.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sandy, I'll see you in a month.
Yes, I don't get to go to Louisville this year. ESPN's not sending me, so I've out of volleyball so for the rest of the year.
All right.
Bye, gentlemen.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to get back to our brackets, our picks. We're going to finish those off after our next guest, who's been hanging in there faithfully. I would give you his full name, but I cannot physically say it. I cannot memorize it. My powers of memorization have been maxed. I can only give you his first name, Ben. And everyone knows if you say Big Ben, I know exactly who you're talking about. It's not Roethlisberger, people. It's Ben Podipo-Memba from Cal. He's just gone through an unbelievable season up there for the Berkeley Bears. Can't call them that, by the way. They're just Cal Bears. They get upset calling them Berkeley Bears. But they they suffered through an unimaginable number of injuries. At one point, I think they had 7 or 8 players they could suit up for a match. It was insane. But we want to talk to him as part of the AVCA Coaches Corner about his experience through a bunch of different programs and how you schedule through a bunch of different programs. Please welcome to the show. I think once again, I think we've had Ben before, Ben Bodipo Memba. Ben.
What's going on, boys?
Oh, hey. I thought it was going to be Dan Fisher again for sure.
Can you guys hear me all right?
We appreciate you calling in. And first of all, let's talk about Cal this year. We'll give you a couple minutes on your team. You guys went through a ridiculous set of circumstances.
Yeah.
At one point, you had lost 3 of your best players. Then you lost Gehan, and you were down to almost nobody. But you guys persevered.
Yeah, it was easily the most challenging season I've ever been to. 15 years in D1, and I've never – and I know everyone talks about injuries, and you can't, like, blame it all on that, but it was ridiculous for a while. I think right before we played USC, we had 9 players at practice the day before, because not only losing our starting libero for the year and then a potential starting outside hitter for the year, the ACL, and then our arguably 2 best players in Shannon Harare and Corey Johnson came down with the stomach flu right before. I mean, it was just like whatever could happen did happen. But they battled hard. They got through it. We had our freshman Croatian middle that ended up playing outside for us, a position she'd never even played before. And we had to do what we had to do to try to produce some wins.
All right, so we wanted to have you here as part of the ABCA Coaches Corner because you have seen, you mentioned it, 15 years in Division I, a lot of different programs. I can think of Georgia Tech, Irvine, and Cal offhand.
You're missing one. Western Carolina University, the Catamounts. That's where I got my start.
My apologies to Western Carolina. And what's their mascot?
All good. Catamounts.
The Catamounts, yeah.
That's the mascot? Yeah. I thought it was just
the
place.
Same as University of Vermont.
Okay, very good.
There you go, the only 2.
In my job when I left Irvine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jay, what's going on?
Parlay that one to a nice job, huh?
I think you still have some stuff in the desk. I kept up cleaning it out for like 2 years.
If they're tiny little airplane bottles, they're not mine.
No comment.
Let me ask you about is preseason scheduling, because we've talked to coaches a lot about the RPI and how that figures in. And also just raw wins and losses with the new 500 or better requirement.
Right.
How have you seen different head coaches address the developmental needs of their program with the perhaps postseason implications for their program?
Right. It's really tricky because it really does. It depends on where you're at as a coach, as a program. There's some coaches that are fighting for their job. They just need the W's. And I've been in programs that have. Western Carolina wasn't necessarily the strongest program in the world, and then obviously Cal here, a lot of different resources from being the only assistant to having a lot of resources on staff. And there are different needs. Here at Cal, we expect to be contending for a national championship every year. That's our mindset. The scheduling aspect of it, the RPI, I can go on and on about it, but that's what it comes down to basically for scheduling to get to the postseason. Obviously in the Pac-12, every night's a battle. So, you got to balance that, schedule, winnable matches and schedule matches that will help your RPI. Obviously, you're getting to get a seed because, obviously, we could schedule, our Sisters of the Poor, night in, night out and still be okay with the record-wise, but our RPI probably would suffer, even though we're getting some from the Stanfords and the UCLAs and Washington. So you kind of have to – you got to mix it up. I think the biggest thing is scheduling teams that – do well in their conference, maybe back east, because they have a more varied assortment of matches that they play there. Going to the West Coast, you're just dealing with us, the Big West, the WCC, et cetera. You're not going to get that true RPI, boost is the best way to say it, that you could by scheduling maybe the CAA champion or the Big South champion or these teams that are going to win their or possibly win their conference and get some good W's with it.
Ben, are you at Cal to, as you say, not schedule our Sisters of Lady Guadalupe for the entire preseason, but are you free to schedule whomever you wish because the Pac-12 is so strong and you will gain so much RPI through the conference portion of your year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we, again, try to go out and get some other teams that we won't face regularly from the East Coast. But, yeah, we're going to get our wins and our losses through the Pac-12. Our RPI, I think the conference was ranked number one for most of the year this year. So
when you're doing are you then hoping that you can get matches that will be good for the development of your kids? Are there discussions going on with Rich, with Rich Feller, to say, where do we want to start with this group? Where do we want to end going into conference?
Exactly.
How do we construct that for the kids?
Exactly. You look up the makeup of your team. You say, do you have a senior laden team? Do you have a young team? Do you need to get the feet wet, so to speak, or can you just jump into the fire? And you know, with our team this year, obviously I got on board in February, so the schedule was already what it was. But they did schedule a stronger preseason conference than they had before, going out to Hawaii, et cetera. With the intent that we'd have a senior leading team really deep, and then all of a sudden we get three injuries, and that kind of changed our season there. But yeah, definitely. You look at your team, you look at the makeup, and you say, okay, we need to ease into this, or we're ready to go from the beginning and schedule accordingly.
So that's
there's always the tricky part where you go into we want to go to Alabama and play, but then there's a team that says, well, we can't play a team with the RPI of 50 or above, but we don't want to play this person. So then you kind of get X'd out of some tournaments because teams don't want to play you.
Well, yeah, that becomes the side of the question is, when you're at a place like Georgia Tech or you're at a place like Irvine, and you don't want to lose those matches necessarily, but
right.
You need
exactly.
An RPI match. That seems like it becomes a terribly difficult balancing act.
It is. I mean, it's so challenging because RPI also, I mean, it's a good indicator at the beginning of how teams are, but that can completely change. Our first year at Irvine, we were, 25-9 or 28-9 or something like that. And so teams the next year learned up, hey, let's play Irvine. We didn't have a very successful year. And so it kind of messed up their RPI or what they thought it would be because they were counting on the team from the year before. And so it's tough. I mean, but you're right. Like at Irvine or Georgia Tech or whatever, you don't want to schedule too many tough matches because then you're starting to flirt with that, 500 will be eligible to play.
By the way, did you know that the mascot for Our Lady of Mary Guadalupe is the Rulers? I just wanted you to know.
I did not know that.
And for out there is, you should schedule incrementally instead of trying to go for play a number five team.
Is that another ruler joke?
Exactly. You want to schedule from 200 and maybe go crack at the next 50 or the next 100.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to do for sure.
It's a tricky business.
It is a tricky business, but Ben, we appreciate you enlightening us just a little bit on how you've seen it done throughout the years. I know I had some conversations this year with some coaches, Beth Lanier in particular at Utah, who second year in the Pac-12 said, yeah, we had to change our preseason schedule because we can't afford those losses early on.
Right.
We just can't. And so we need to play and get better and play some quality teams, but we cannot afford to have that many losses.
Exactly.
Ben, thanks very much for joining us. We sure appreciate the time, and sorry it's the off season, but we'll look forward to seeing you in season form in Louisville.
I'll be there. It was a tough one, but hey, it's a learning season. We'll get back at it this spring and definitely look to improve. It'll be an interesting regional here with our friends from across the way coming into our home. Not real happy about that, but
hold on.
What it is.
While we have you, this debate going on between Sonheimer and Jay here about
what
happened. Will your fans show up to jeer Stanford?
I think Stanford. I think they'll pack it. I think their fans travel pretty well. It's right around the corner, and so I don't know. I mean, again, it just got here in February. Yeah, my dad went here, my brother went here, so I know about the rivalry, but I don't know. I think Stanford's going to have a pretty good turnout. And I don't think our fans will be that invested to jeer them this case.
I love
we were
the corner call. That's hilarious because it's a solid hour and a half with a toll in between. If you caught the wrong traffic, you get across that bridge, found out this year.
That's just
corner in California terms. In other places, that's like three quarters of the way across the state.
I know that they don't talk about it either. Ohio State will, during their rivalry week, they will cover every letter M on campus, which I think is cool.
Right.
Or something, and they talk about that school up north. So I think you've started something new, Ben. You talk about the school that's just around the corner. You don't even bother telling them where they really are.
So is Cal going to on campus?
What was that?
There's a conundrum. You know, you're playing against the Stanford trees, and you want to go around cutting down all the
that's
trees.
An awesome campus, by the way. It is awesome campus.
Yeah, I was there. It was because I got to stay just down the road. I got to walk to Haas Pavilion, and I got to walk through what is an unbelievably eclectic environment.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. I could live in NorCal yesterday. That place is awesome.
It's hella awesome?
Wow.
There you go.
Good pull right there.
I'm very impressed.
All right. We could end this before it goes even more off the rails. Ben, thanks very much for calling us. We sure appreciate you spending the time. Look forward to catching up with you soon.
No worries. Thanks for having
me. All right.
Ben will probably apply for the job that just opened up at Our Lady Mary of Guadalupe because I know that not doing too well this year.
The rulers.
By the way, speaking of how your life really means nothing outside of your own little world that you think everybody cares about, my wife hears that I'm going to be on the show today, and she goes, "Oh, you're going to talk about ping pong all day." She has no idea what I do.
Ping pong.
She doesn't hate volleyball, but she just doesn't know what I do.
Update on the inbox 39. Thanks very much.
By the way, Rob Espero reposted it on his page. So if you're friends with him, relive some memories. Way to go, Robbie.
Somebody said you look like, what's the dude's name from Weird Science? Anthony Michael Hall from Weird Science. That's what they called you.
I loved that movie. Kelly LeBrock. Oh, my goodness.
And also said they weren't hammer pants. They were muscle lifter meathead pants.
Yes, they were. Accurate.
Which you can still buy in Venice Beach today.
And I think
and are still worn.
And somebody else also said, I think those pants predate my birth.
Okay.
I don't know.
We have a diverse audience.
Casey, nicely done.
We have a diverse audience. What do you want? I challenge. This is a challenge for our NetLive listeners. Post your senior photo on our page. Senior picture.
I'm not in my senior yearbook.
Why not?
Because he's antisocial.
I was going back and forth between schools at the time. Long story, and I didn't make the senior yearbook.
Continuation.
Back and forth.
Continuation
back and forth,
doesn't take pictures.
Forcibly.
Huh?
Look, I had a difficult teenage years. I may have got kicked out of the house a couple times.
Redondo School for the mismanaged youth? Is that? They didn't have yearbook day?
I was the perfect child.
You had bad parents?
I'm going to have my mom call in and she can tell you.
You were a perfect child with bad parents.
His application to Our Lady Mary of Guadalupe was rejected.
Yeah, rejected. I had to come back to public school.
All right, so post your senior photo on our page. Let's have a little competition. We get the best senior photo. We'll send you a NetLive t-shirt. We'll send it out for you for free if you post the best, i.e. worst. If you can beat mine, I might send myself a t-shirt, actually.
Awkward family photos.
Can I make an executive decision? We can take a quick break so Jay can hear my remix.
Yes.
Let's do that. We'll be right back. We will give you our picks for the Final Four. We'll detail those matchups as well as give you some information on upcoming NetLive broadcasts and an important sale going on. Not a Black Friday deal, but it's a deal nonetheless for some NetLive merchandise. Cool.
There's nothing I can really say. volleyball in the country is coming to Louisville, and you'll want to be there up close to take in all the action. Cheer for every point. Witness every rally. Experience it live at the 2012 NCAA Division I Women's Volleyball Championship, December 13th and 15th at KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Hosted by the University of Louisville and the Louisville Sports Commission. All session tickets start at $62. Visit ncaa.com/volleyball to make a date with champions.
You know what ought to happen on this show, ladies and gentlemen? We're back live. Is that we ought to cut back in like they do on PTI, where we're just in the studio, because our discussion for the last 5 minutes was way better than that commercial, not better than your music.
No, it was better than both.
But it was unbelievable.
They were talking about monkeys, porn stars.
Wow.
Monkeys and porn stars
little,
in the same.
What was it? Big Fat Jeremy's?
Little Fat Jeremy.
Little Fat Jeremy.
Yeah. That's
Little
what it,
Fat Jeremy. I have a picture, and this should be on the Facebook page, and people can vote if they think it looks like you.
But it's not a Little Fat
Okay,
Jeremy.
It's not a Little Fat you. I just, that was, you can put it ended up being a good page. Way to characterize it. But this is a picture I took of some guy at Riviera Mexican Grill, local restaurant, and it looked like you. From a distance, somebody would look up and go, that might be Jeremy.
Yeah, it's not as good as your hammer pants, though.
Oh man.
40 emails and rolling.
But Jay and I both promised that we would post embarrassing photos of ourselves.
I will do it. I promise.
I'll do it later
today.
Okay,
so look for those. Look for those. Those dovetail into our discussion that we were having earlier. Hey, Jeremy, what's going on with the shirts on the Facebook page? Or on the Vala clothing site, pardon me.
Well, for the holiday season, our shirts are at a discount. I believe it's $18 or $18.50 right now. No Black Friday sale, no Cyber Monday sale, just sale. Get them,
just sale.
Get them while they're hot.
Get them while they're hot. Buy them.
A few left, domestically, shipping only.
Okay. So if you want a second NetLive shirt or maybe a first NetLive shirt to support this program, remember that you're just supporting us. We're trying to make the program better each week. Maybe we can pay for some faster internet so we don't have so many delays.
Vala Clothing, V-A-L-A, clothing.com.
ValaClothing.com. Yep. Perfect. Hey, let's get to our picks here, Jay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And Jeremy, weren't you going to pick, or are you waiting until next week?
I'm waiting until the final eight because I know nothing about it.
Well, you can't, though, because it's everything this weekend, man. It's happening. Regional finals are December 8th, so.
Yeah, well, then I will do it later this week and post my picks online.
All right.
Second.
We have Texas versus Florida. I'm taking Texas.
Yeah, I'm taking Texas, too. I'm surprised that nobody has been able to stop the incredibly high balls to the pins yet from Texas.
Dude, Eckerman and Webster are unreal.
But when somebody does, which I think they'll see soon, I think Texas will at least win that match against Florida.
All right, Wichita State, great run for the Missouri Valley Conference against USC. I think it ends here for Wichita State. Shockers are shocked.
I agree. USC, very good, very quick winning system. I go with USC and a great logo. not USC, by the way.
All right, USC and Texas, pick me the final four out of that.
USC.
Wow.
Yeah, I go with USC. And I know that it's in Austin, and I know that Texas plays really well at home. I think USC has just got a little bit better, finely tuned machine, and I think that the chuck it to the high pin shot from Texas is going to be slowed down. I'm saying, but that's going five.
Here's the interesting part about this matchup: Texas can't play defense. USC plays incredible defense. USC, until recently, could not set the middle. They've been riding freshman Samantha Bricio a lot. But they haven't had much of a middle attack. Lately, Alexis Olgaard and Alicia Ogums have been really good. That's going to be an interesting matchup. I don't know that they have the pin blockers in Fuller to stop, and Bricio, to stop the outsides for Texas. I don't think anyone does. If they're on, they win. I'm picking Texas over USC, especially because they're in the friendly confines of Gregory Jim.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa State, Stanford. Start with the battle for the Motor City Schools. I was trying to think of Michigan. What's Michigan?
Well, Michigan is.
I mean, Motor City
Ann Arbor.
Is all I could think of.
It's Ann Arbor.
No, I know where they're at, but I'm saying the state itself.
I believe it's kind of towards the center, is it not? I'm not sure. You know what? I think it's in the thumb.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about Michigan itself. What I forget what the state motto is or whatever, because you could have the battle for whatever. It's not really the battle for the Motor City, because neither one are in Detroit. But
that's good. You know what? I don't know that answer, actually.
Okay. Anyway, interstate rivalry.
You know,
Spartans, Wolverines.
This is going to sound incredibly stupid. I think they're both even teams. I just think that Michigan is on a little bit of a roll right here. I think there's some unfinished business for them. Michigan State has had a nice run. I mean, Kathy does a nice job there. I'm going to pick Michigan in that one, and I'm going to pick it in five.
Okay. I'm as well taking Michigan. I think Michigan comes out the victor here. I think 10 days ago they won 3-0. I think they're playing well. I think both teams are excited to be where they're at, but I'm going to pick Michigan. But believe me, Michigan State wins. Kathy George will be on this program next week. Iowa State, Stanford. This one, to me, is one of the easier picks.
I think so. People that complain about Penn State's road and their opponents and no slam against Iowa State. Stanford, easy.
I think Stanford pretty easy. 3-0 Stanford. Yeah. So Stanford, Michigan.
Yep.
I'm going Stanford. I just think Stanford is too complete. Michigan is a good team. I just think Stanford is really a complete squad and too deep.
I would absolutely agree. Stanford in four, only because they're gonna at least get the second game or the first game. I don't think they're going to do anything after that. But Stanford is just too good all the way around.
Washington.
And they're young, which is even scarier.
Omaha, Nebraska. Washington taking on the home team, Nebraska. Battle of the head coaches.
I'll tell you what. I've got Washington beating Nebraska.
Really?
Yes. I am looking forward to that match. I will be glued to whatever is televising that match, whether it's computer or TV. That one is going to be fun to watch. And if you ever want to see two coaches that are going to be more passionate about that match and more hype surrounding that match, that's the one. I'm going Washington over Nebraska in four.
I've got Nebraska winning that one. I think Washington just kind of runs out of gas. Nebraska victory there. Oregon, BYU.
No question. Oregon in three.
Okay, me too. Yep. Over BYU.
Yep.
Minnesota and Purdue. I'm already going with Hugh McCutchen.
You know, Brandon made
no disrespect
a nice,
to the Boilermakers.
Rosenthal made a nice reference to it being in Lafayette. And I do believe Purdue will travel well. Do not underestimate McCutchen and his video watching capabilities to scout teams. If his personnel can hold up to snuff, which I think they will, I'm going to go with Minnesota.
I like how they said it's being played in Purdue's backyard. If it was played in Minnesota's backyard, it would be 6 inches of snow.
Hey-o.
Penn State and Kentucky.
For those of you out there that think that I'm a homer, yeah, get it straight. I'm not. I will say right now, Penn State in three. I don't think it's even close.
I wanted you to pick Kentucky after that.
Yeah,
it wasn't. That would have been good. All right, Minnesota, Penn State. Here you go again. Another chance to be a homer.
What's the toughest game to win? The third one in a row. I'm going to go with Penn State.
I'm taking Minnesota.
Ooh.
Taking Minnesota.
Are you
really?
Final four.
Yep. Hugh McCutchen ahead of schedule.
We might need to put a little something on this one, like a picture with somebody else's jersey on.
All right. I've got Minnesota and Oregon on one side. I've got Texas and Stanford on the other. I'm picking Oregon to beat Minnesota. I'm picking Stanford to beat Texas. And I'm picking Oregon to win it. So.
Wow. You know what?
Big year for Nike U.
We talked about it earlier. Love all the uniform changes and helmet changes at Oregon. I've got
$1,000 for one of those helmets. That was a little out of my price range. $300, I would have considered buying a couple for the house. A grand?
A new. Little. Boy, that is. Yeah. I'm sure there's a knockoff somewhere. That's cool looking. It may not be as protective, but who's wearing it? I've got Penn State, meaning Oregon, in that Final Four matchup. I'm going with Penn State. I've got USC and Stanford, and I've got Stanford winning that match. I've got Penn State and Stanford in the finals. I'm going Penn State in five. It's going to be an epic match.
You're definitely a homer.
It's
just
going
Penn State to win the entire thing.
Five, and it's going to be epic. Almost as epic as the little fat Jeremy. That the sandwich of all
sandwiches.
Which will
be a new burrito in your hometown.
Look for the little fat Jeremy at a restaurant near you.
Little fat Jeremy. How sweet is that?
So I want to know, if we picked these on mascots, and I think we did this a little bit last year.
Okay.
If we picked these on mascots, okay, so a Nittany Lion versus a Wildcat. This is like a draw, right?
We did do this last year.
We did it. We picked a mascot, entire mascot bracket.
How big is
isn't
a Wildcat?
Yeah, isn't Nittany Lion?
It's like a
lion is pretty big. A Wildcat's definitely smaller. I think the Nittany Lion mauls the Wildcat.
It also says lion, so I'm going with that.
Ooh.
Okay, so in that one, in our mascot challenge, we've got Penn State winning that matchup. All right, Purdue, a Boilermaker, which is just a guy with a hammer.
Or a good shot.
Or but lucky for him, he's taking on a gopher.
Well, listen, the gopher.
The gopher has history. See Caddyshack.
Do we not watch the commercial where the lumberjack is wearing the pants and the gopher goes to bite and the teeth fall out of the gopher? Imagine the gopher taking the shot, the Boilermaker shot.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Boilermaker on that.
I think the Boilermaker makes mincemeat of the gopher.
No question.
Gopher soup, for sure.
No question.
All right, so that's a Boilermaker versus versus Nittany Lion. A little bit tougher matchup for the Boilermaker.
Ooh. Does the Boilermaker have a shovel?
he's got a hammer. He's got a hammer.
Hammer's no contest. If he had a shovel.
Okay.
Because it's flat and you get clocked in the head.
All right, so we're taking the Lion. I think the Lion.
There was a poop reference somewhere in there, but I'm going to let it go.
Okay. Oregon. Now, this is tough because somehow a duck has become a cool mascot. A duck versus, again, a cat. So
the duck is toast.
The duck is just – I just see feathers everywhere.
It's a duck.
A duck against a cat.
Well, it's a mountain lion, right? What's BYU?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Cougars.
Come on.
Cougars, listen, yeah. It's a mountain lion.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go with the duck because the mountain lion's going to laugh its ass off at the duck.
So you're
and
going with
duck's
a
quack all over.
A tortoise in the hair situation.
No, like, come on. I'm going with the lion. That's yeah,
unless it's like Howard the Duck, who's bigger.
That's right.
He's fat and slow.
He's
and he waddles.
Too?
Yeah, no, it's not good.
And
there's
waddles.
No sandwich named after him, though. No. All right, so we're picking BYU in that one, the Lions. All right, so they're going to – what about Washington, the Huskies, a dog, taking on a Cornhusker? And the question becomes, how many dogs?
And what is a Cornhusker? They're just husking corn?
They're husking corn. They're tearing the – I mean,
it's a husker.
It's a job a kid does. I mean, kids from my camp would get out of detasseling duty to come to my camp.
Detasseling duty. This is a conversation for another day. I actually know what that is.
Yeah,
it's
so
a husker versus a husky.
I never figured I would. A husker and a husky?
The husker versus the husky.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the husker.
Really?
Because the huskers are always – they're detasseling. And detasseling is what you do when the corn grows to get the little
– So you're picking them to rip the ear off the husky.
I am.
Okay.
I am. Yeah.
No.
Because a husky could be just a big person, too, and they can
just run circles. I'm voting for the husky because you said huskers, so you opened the door to huskies, so there could be several dogs eating one husker.
Yes.
I'm picking the dogs.
Okay.
I'm picking the husky.
You go with the dog. You only get one dog, though. You can't have a pack of rabid husky dogs.
They don't have to be rabid.
Yeah.
Well, you can because dogs go in packs.
In packs.
Mountain lions are
solitary. Do you think people husk corn singularly?
Well, yeah, you're down say one row. You don't fast. See anybody else with you. All right.
So
we have a husky versus a lion. You got outvoted. Husky versus a lion.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Mountain lion.
I'd like to pet the husky because it's a cute little dog.
Yeah, and
it's
cool
eyes. I'm not getting anywhere near a lion. So, I'm going to say the lion on
okay,
that
okay, a lion.
And
we're going to have a problem
and
in the final
lion.
Four.
I'm with you on that, too.
All right, so the lion wins, but we're going to have a problem in the final four. So we'll get there in a second.
Okay.
All right, Texas, longhorn, giant bull, pretty slow, against Florida, it's a gator.
Ooh.
I mean, this looks like something out of the Savannah.
Or something out of like a National Geographic show.
Right.
There lies the whaley.
If the gator gets you and does the death roll,
yeah.
You might be toast.
The death roll.
Yeah.
All we need is one broken leg on the bull and he's pretty much finished.
But
you can hunt him.
If he gets the horn in you, I mean, that's tough.
If he hooks
I don't think this is tough at all. Gator is obvious.
I don't think it's obvious, Kevin.
But
I agree with
you. Go Gators. I'm saying Gators.
I'm going Gators.
That's.
All right, so Gators advance.
Yep.
All right, we have the Shockers, which apparently is a guy with wheat coming out of his head. Or that, Jeremy. And we have USC.
A tree.
The Trojans.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The
yes.
tree, yeah. We have Trojans. Guy with the sword. Remember, he can't plant it in the middle of the field or you're not going to let your band play. So a guy with a sword versus a guy with wheat in his hair.
Sword.
Oh, the Shocker. There's so many great directions this can go.
Yeah, but not on this air. So Trojans and
show.
Gators.
Yeah, Trojans, as much as it pains me.
So now we have a Trojan. We have a guy with a sword.
Yes.
On a
and
horse.
And armor.
On a horse.
On
a horse.
Horse against a single
with
gator.
With a broom on his head upside down.
Hey, it was the style then. We've all had problems.
So if he loses the sword, he
bell
can
bottom.
Sweep you away.
That's right. That's right. He
cast
clean
out
your
colors.
House.
He eyes odd shirts.
Cleans her house after he's done killing.
Zuba's pants. We've all had problems. Upside down brooms on our head.
I'm going with the Trojan because he can sacrifice the horse
Thank
and
you.
Then kill the gator.
Oh, so while the gator is eating
yep.
the horse, then
yep.
he comes up
he
from
behind.
He
sneaks up on him and puts the sword through the top of the head.
Him.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Trojans over gators.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Michigan. Ooh. Wolverines, a ferocious animal against... Oh, hold on. We didn't get there yet. Wait, we got a ferocious animal against the Spartan. So again, we have a guy with a sword or maybe a pike. Maybe a spear. Maybe he's a, you know, a Spartan. Don't they have a not that kind of spear. They have a pike. Don't they have a pike, the Spartans? Or do they have a sword?
The fact that you're looking at me with a serious face right now, this conversation is awful.
All right.
I just want to go with the Wolverine just because I want to see how far the Wolverine can go.
The Wolverine is low to the ground, hard to catch.
Yeah. And
Will is ferocious.
And
he'll
start nipping at you. And
just
annoy
you. Kind of like a badger, like a honey badger.
Very much.
And, you know,
they don't smoke marijuana.
No. You know that honey badgers just don't care. They do what they want.
Who's eating a snake? Nasty.
It's nasty. Jeez.
I'm here. Wolverine here.
Wolverine by me.
I know. We're going Wolverine. I'm going to say the pesky Wolverine.
It doesn't Wolverine just sound cooler?
It sure does. Yeah. Wolverines regulate.
Ooh, he's eating a snake. Nasty.
Stop.
Honey badger don't care. Iowa State.
Yes.
Iowa State. Cyclones?
Hawkeyes.
Hawkeyes.
Right?
Where was
Cyclones.
I? Cyclones.
Cyclones.
Iowa's the Hawkeyes.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Cyclone. All right, so we have a cyclone versus a tree.
Cyclone.
Or a small bird.
Or a small bird.
Weather is tearing you up.
Yeah. You know what? This isn't even a discussion. Stop right there, Jay. The giant tornado wins. So now we have a Wolverine versus a giant tornado. You know, the tornado might be formidable.
It might be.
Tough.
Jeez Louise.
Weather's unpredictable.
Don't think we're in Kansas.
They call
anymore.
It a cyclone. Does it spin backwards? Is it?
Is a cyclone one direction and
no,
hurricane
the other?
Another?
No, cyclone's
no,
one.
No, hurricane's just a storm.
One's above the equator.
But it's a,
equator,
it's a cyclone on the other side.
That's
of the,
true.
You know,
it is
isn't
true.
It? Don't they call them cyclones in
Bottom
Asia?
Bottom line, I'm going with the weather.
You're going with the weather.
You cannot mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
All right, cyclone.
Or the little fat Jeremy. A formidable.
Can I get a T-shirt that says little fat Jeremy?
that'll be another one of our Net Live items.
Yes.
All right. Here is our final four matchup. Okay. On one side of the bracket, we have Lions. Maybe. How did we get a lion?
Cougar. Lions.
Hey.
Wait a second.
Hot older women on one side.
Yeah, we have a BYU
Sorry, honey.
Cougar.
I love you.
A cougar, a,
yes.
A lion versus a Nittany lion. Cougar and Nittany lion, ostensibly the same cat.
Animal. Yeah.
If you look at their logos, they're virtually the same cat. On what basis can we choose a winner here? I mean, one cat's Mormon.
It has a helmet and rides a bike. You could you know what we need right now is that what's that old TV show? We had the two different warriors and the guys with the computers would actually put in all the data and they would come up with the scores of who would win.
Yeah, it was on History Channel.
Yeah, it was called like Warriors something or other.
Yeah,
you know what? That's a toss up. How do you?
Does being Mormon devalue your fighting ability?
Is what I'm
ask Mitt Romney. I have no idea.
I'm going to go with the Cougars because my dad's side of the family is Mormon.
Okay.
Loyalties, Jay.
Ooh.
Well.
I almost feel like I have to succumb
I'm
to
the casting vote.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the deciding vote here.
Yeah.
And you have to explain why you do
I have to explain why. Well, let me do a little research. We'll come back to that one in just a moment. I need to look at both logos. And
by the way, no slam to Mormons out there. Please don't send me any hate mail. It's a joke.
Just keep sending it to me.
Yeah, just keep posting on Kevin's Facebook page about his beautiful pants.
Yes. All right. So on the other side, we have Trojans, guy with a sword, versus a cyclone. Now, it is a guy who has some intelligence versus a cyclone.
How do you defeat a cyclone? You'd have to wait for the weather to pass. You know what I'm saying? You just have to wait it out.
Well, and he could clean the debris with his broom on top of his helmet afterwards.
And does the Spartan have a horse, too? No, he doesn't.
No, but the Spartan also has a green broom on top of his head.
And he has
correlation?
He has like that dress thing, too.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think the cyclone will.
I'm going Mother Nature as well. The cyclone absolutely dominates the USC Trojan.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tommy Trojan.
Okay, so we have a cyclone in the final in the match.
Yes,
in the top match, we have the cyclone. Okay,
and who are you picking?
I'm looking at the Cougars here.
Cougars,
BYU Cougars.
BYU Cougars, very angry, large, muscular. Penn State, regal, looks more refined, looks more like an indoor cat.
Thoroughbred,
looks more like an indoor cat.
Really?
Isn't that that's an indoor kitty?
We're gonna,
this one's out on the mountaintop.
Much like your indoor kitty that came up earlier.
But doesn't the Nittany Lion statue isn't it like on rocks and stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's tough looking.
This one's on top of a mountain.
Not just
a rock.
Yeah,
or
go ahead.
On top of a mountain.
You keep taking a look at that. Let me just show you.
Look at this guy's. He's attractive. He's regal. He's refined. He is the prince.
He's metrosexual cougar.
Metrosexual cougar.
He is the prince of
May
cougars.
May I show you? That is stone, my friend.
That is stone.
That is stone.
That is a fine, fine picture. I have to say.
So what are you going with?
I have to say that standing on top of a stone is impressive. Standing on top of but 5,000 feet of rock
is more
impressive.
He's
I have
afraid.
To go
That's
with,
why he has
with,
to be so high, because people will chase him to the heights.
Cats like high places. The refined sensibility of Penn State loses to the
Ooh.
Mountain anger
wow.
and rugged outdoorsiness of the BYU Cougars.
I call BS in this whole thing. All right. Totally jumped the shark.
Okay. Apparently. So we have the BYU Cougars
okay.
facing off with the Iowa State Cyclones.
Dare
Which, by the way, by the way, even if you take it to Cougars, plural, and Cyclones, plural, I'm pretty scared of the weather.
I think you can go plural Cougars, singular Cyclones, and still be pretty scared. Because, you know, in Southern California, the weather right now is pretty ominous. It's drizzling outside. And
dogs
storm-
and cats living together.
There are people in yellow jackets, yellow slickers on the freeway with news.
So I either just drew a Jamba Juice logo or... I'm picking the Cyclones. I think we're all going with the Cyclones to win it.
I think fighting a cyclone on top of a mountain is a lose-lose situation for you.
Wait. Interesting point. Can you have a cyclone at altitude? I guess there was a tornado in downtown Salt Lake a couple of years ago.
By the way, interesting side note while you debate that. Mills College in Berkeley area. Their mascot is the Cyclone, small little all-girls school, about 600 students. We went and played there years ago. Their mascot actually came in a giant Cyclone foam outfit.
Awesome.
And impressive. Spun the entire time around the whole court. It was an awesome sight to see.
Impressive. I saw a guy on a video yesterday, I think it's doctored, though, put himself through a Baylor. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can go through a Baylor.
Wow. Really?
I think it's bull. I call BS.
Ooh.
Update on the email. 40 was the total.
40.
Good job, gentlemen.
Nice.
All right, so the Cyclone wins it. Congratulations, Iowa State. You are the victor of the Sweet 16 and on mascot challenge.
Jay Hossack fan on the chat board just wrote, Monday, December 3rd, 2012, 12:17 p.m. PST, TNL jumps the shark.
I'll tell you what, I think we had a great program. I mean, many thanks to Ben Bodipa Memba for calling in.
Benny.
To Mark Rosen for calling in. Thanks to Kathy George and Michigan State for getting back to us. We will have them on in the future. They did get back to us. They're just in the middle of practice. Thanks to the AVCA for the support of the show. And thanks to Dan Fisher for calling in six times and impersonating everyone else. Thanks, Casey, for being a part of that. But I thought that was a fantastic show, and all those people joined us. And then I thought the last 15 minutes were the funniest of the whole deal.
We should
highlight.
Totally should record that. I am on
Jeremy.
My way to go get
Cyclones.
A Little Fat Jeremy at Tommy Burger. I'm going to Tommy Burger right now.
That sounds really, really good.
Love Tommy Burger. Tommy Burger, by the way, I will take royalties for advertising. I love that place.
Hey, Vinny Lopes, we did not get to this. We need to do this. We need 10 more minutes here. So hang on, Jeremy.
God.
I like
God.
It.
10 more minutes. And Vinny Lopes, I'm sorry it's coming at the end of the show. We promoted early. But this has to happen because Vinny was kind enough to do, first of all, thanks to Vinny for putting this together.
Yes.
Doing an off-the-block preseason All-American vote for the men.
Yes.
And this is going to be our College Volleyball Weekly segment coming up in January.
Yes.
Here is your, let's start with the second group. Second team, All-Americans, as voted by the 18-person nationwide committee composed of Jay Hossack and his friends. We have the following. At libero, Javier Caceres.
From?
Pacific.
Really?
Peter Jacitis from Loyola.
Yep.
Second team?
Yeah, Jacitis. He's
second team. Second team.
Manhattan Beach kid, by the way.
Can I get their positions, too?
That was libero's.
Yep. Okay.
Javier is a Puerto Rican kid.
Here are four outside hitters.
Okay.
Gonzalo Quiroga from
Very
UCLA.
Good. And he's also from Argentina.
Jeremy Janeo of UC Irvine.
And is he little?
Jeremy Dano.
Dano? Okay,
I can't believe you said it.
D-E-J-N-O. I don't know. Dano.
What did he call it?
It's not Dejno. It's Dano. Jeremy Dano from Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin. That makes no sense that his name is J-N-O and he's from Wisconsin. Okay. Outside here, Taylor Crabb from Long Beach State.
Hawaiian kid. Good player.
Yeah. Tony Crabb's son.
Yep.
Longtime USAV supporter. Outside attacker, Brian Cook from Stanford.
Yep. Santa Cruz kid.
Middle blocker from Stanford, Eric
Mahalski.
Mahalski?
Yes.
Okay.
Good kid.
Middle attacker from USC, Robert Feathers. Hope he hits a little harder than that.
Ooh.
Middle attacker Dylan Davis from UC Santa Barbara.
Yep.
And setter Matt West of Pepperdine.
Huh.
Just a sophomore, I think, right?
Yes, just a sophomore.
All right.
From Seattle, no less.
Pepperdine still has a program?
First team All-American.
Ouch.
Off the block preseason. libero Henry Cassaday.
Yep,
from USC.
From Hawaii.
USC?
Yeah, but from Hawaii.
From
originally.
Hawaii, okay.
Sorry.
A bunch of outside hitters here. Maurice Torres from Pepperdine,
yep.
Actually an opposite.
Coached him in club.
Kevin Tilley from UC Irvine.
French kid from Canada.
Torres, a great story. Him and his sister both, and going to Orange Lutheran,
yeah.
and the stuff they've had to deal with. Parents both deaf.
Awesome. Awesome family.
Really neat kids.
Yeah.
Sister plays at, who did I do last? It's Arizona.
I was going to say in Arizona
she
school.
Plays for Arizona.
Yeah, she's
she had
a great
good
family.
Second half of the season, too.
Great family.
Outside attacker Joseph Smaltzer from Loyola.
6'10 lefty opposite.
Wow.
Yeah.
The second coming of the, what's his name from
Big
USC?
Kid. Big kid.
6'10.
Remember the guy from SC? What was his name I'm trying to think of?
Well, there was.
Just before my era. Our era.
There was a Seifert who was
no,
at USC.
No, not Seifert. Not Seifert. Opposite. 6'10. Couldn't jump a lick. Hit the ball really hard.
Apparently. Well, at UCLA there was.
Chatboard, please.
Yeah.
USC. I can't remember his name. All right, Taylor Sander from BYU.
Legit. That kid you'll see on the 2016 roster without question.
I don't know how this guy got in. Aaron Russell from Penn State. How many votes did you get?
What?
I don't know. Now,
yeah, I tell you what, great kid, good player, also was on the junior national team roster. He will be a national team kid for sure.
Aaron Russell. Didn't,
yep.
Didn't you travel with the junior national team?
I did. I was an assistant. We're going to Turkey next year for Worlds. It's going to be awesome.
Jay Petty from Lewis, outside hitter.
Yep, Jay Petty, good kid also, I think, from Chicago area.
Russell Lavaja.
Middle blocker at my BYU.
And setters, two of them. BJ Bulldog.
That kid.
That's a great name.
Really good. Really good.
Bulldog.
Yeah.
Bulldog. Go get him, Bulldog.
Really,
go get him.
Hold on.
Really good. That kid does not get enough credit. He is
Bulldog.
Great. His real name is Bulldog.
Solid.
B-O-L-D-O-G. Bulldog.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Go get him. Get him. Bite him. Tear his arm off. All right.
Easy there, duck call.
Also, center, Micah Christensen from USC. So a lot of USC talent there, boy. Fergie, you're fully stocked, dude. You better get it done.
Oh, the pressure you just put him on.
41 emails.
Micah, center on our junior national team this year. Good kid.
Can you guys give me your preseason number one yet? Or do I have to wait on that?
So I haven't done any research. I'm going to be doing some UCLA matches this year. I don't know enough, Jay, to say
Irvine.
He's number one.
I think without question, Irvine.
Turners.
Coming off the win?
Coming off the win, not only that.
What
but
about
have,
UCLA and Sproul?
I think they're rebuilding. I think they've got a fine staff. Robert Page, their 7-foot outside hitter, has now moved over to opposite. He's going to be a good kid for them. I think they're going to take a year or two to get Sproul's kids in there. UC Irvine only lost Carson Clark. And their middle, I think, Kevorkian. Everybody else is coming back, and the kids that they put in those positions are just as legit. So,
Tilly is so good.
I'm going to say Irvine is my preseason favorite right now.
But I'll tell you right now, when it comes down to the mascot challenge, Anteater not going too far.
Ooh. You know, we used to play them.
Anteater don't care. Look, he's eating ants.
When I was at Santa Cruz, when we played Irvine, it was the battle of the best mascots in the country, the Anteaters and the Banana Slugs.
Oh, now he's got his nose.
Hold on.
Now he's got his nose in that big thing.
You say banana slugs?
Oh, my God. The fighting banana slugs.
From?
UC Santa Cruz.
You know, the banana slugs can fight all they want. They're still banana slugs. Even if you're angry and you're a slug, I mean, a little bit of salt. Oh!
Now, by the way, if you are at UCSC and somebody tells you to lick the banana slug because it makes your mouth numb, do not do it. It's a complete false rumor. It makes your mouth completely slimy. It's a joke we used to make all the freshmen do.
We all know why Jay knows
that. Did
you
do it? Yeah.
No, actually, I did not do it, but I do know somebody that did, and it was not a very pretty moment, that's for sure.
Jay, somewhere in Marv Dunphy's office, there has to be a tape of you and I playing against each other.
You know what? And there is actually, if there is footage, there is a moment where I dug you, and you screamed and yelled at me. And after the point, you were like, you turn to your kids, and I know this is a family show, so I will dumb it down. Let's effing go. They are Division III. It was awesome.
Sounds like me.
It was awesome.
We were terrible in that match, I remember.
You were terrible, and we were, you know, Division III. we fought like crazy. That's about all we could do.
It is a small community.
Reed promised me he'd be on the show today.
You know, Reed Pretty tried calling in last week, and we missed him. He called in 10 minutes after the program.
Did we miss him in air quotes? Oh, sorry, we missed you.
We were already into the tail end of everything.
I was driving home.
Yeah, and Pretty's like, I was in the queue. Uh-huh. Sure you were. Good luck to you. Keep making that paper, Reed.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Turkey.
All right. Hey, you know what? You tuned in for an extra 26 minutes. You got a serious bonus, 26 minutes for the Net Live. I think that's one of the best afternoons we've had. Jay, thanks for coming and sitting in. Appreciate
love,
it.
Love, love being here with you guys.
You're sitting in Louisville.
If we are in the Final Four, I will be doing the radio show with the
on
voice.
Friday, though. We're going Friday in between the two.
Yes, I will be here, and I will be on as long as you will have me.
Okay.
which may be like 2 minutes, because when you're there, you're big time in me, and I don't get any airtime when I'm out there. So
it happens.
It's kind of how it works. And I don't win iPads, which kind of sucks too. But
well, study your volleyball trivia. Hey, thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. If you're getting us via iTunes, please keep it up. We're getting those files squared away, working on our technology here. We will have a show next Monday. We also have a show next Friday and the following Monday, because so much is going on in the volleyball world. It's Sweet 16 and Elite 8 this weekend. Next week, it's going to be Final Four in Louisville. So we'll have, I'm sure, a star-studded program there. We always drag in some really great names, have some fun discussions, and really have a really great time with the AVCA convention. If you can, show up at the AVCA convention. It will really give you a picture as to how big collegiate women's volleyball has become. So thanks, everybody, for coming on the show today, and we appreciate you tuning in. For Jeremy and Jay, I'm Kevin. We'll see you next time. The Net Live is brought to you by the Spire Institute, integrating sports and education, training and learning, performance and competition like no place on earth. SpireInstitute.org. Now.